Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer, and talking dirty. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Welcome to the program, everybody. Another wonderful Sunday in the unincorporated territory known as Pacheco. That's right. It's a beautiful city that's not actually a city. Doesn't even have its own zip code. But it does have its own radio show. Today with a bunch of hungover buffoons. So what's going on? Except for JP, he's just a regular buffoon.
It's true.
And Jamil, he's not hungover either. He's another just a regular buffoon. But welcome to the program. JC, haven't seen you here on a Sunday in a long time.
Yeah. Just busy with so many things. I've missed coming out here.
It's all your fame and fortune, isn't it?
It is. You know, I have such a hard time piling up the big mounds of cash and things like that. It really takes a lot of time.
Jamil's been busy counting his money.
Yes.
Can't make it down to the show. Tasty's with us today, too. We got a good homebrew show today. It's kind of interesting for us, talking about homebrew.
Why would we do that?
Are you trying to talk yourself into it?
What this is about.
Oh. It was even commented on in the forum. Somebody said, goody, a homebrew show. So today we are going to be talking about competition brewing with Mr. Ninkasi himself, also formerly Mr. February, and before that was Mr. January, Jamil Zainashev, with 2 F's, by the way.
Yes.
Jay-Z gets pissed. I keep spelling his name wrong. He hates that. It's in his rider that I'm supposed to get it right. 2 F's on the website.
By now, I don't count on you getting anything right.
By now, he should change his name to a stage name, you know, like Jamil Thunder Horse or something like that.
That was my name.
Just something more.
I gave that part of the business up.
Something a little more zazz.
Yeah. And Sully's hanging out with us for the first portion of the show.
Just for 30 minutes.
And then you got to go.
Yeah.
Is that your allotted time?
Just for 30 minutes. I didn't even expect to do this. I just was out on my scooter.
His Thunder Horse.
My lap. My Thunder Horse.
Sully, I don't want you staying out there too long. You hang out with the boys and you become a different person. I don't want you there. We got to do snuggly paws.
You guys do snuggly paws.
You got to light the menorah.
That was too far.
Can we, paint Thunder Pussy or something on your scooter so that it's known as that?
You
can,
Thunder Horse.
You can do it anything you want. Because right now I don't feel like I would object to anything.
We're all hungover again. It's another one of those shows. Tasty comes in and says, hey, how you feeling today? You got some energy to make up for last week? Nah, I'm worse. I'm worse than I was.
feel like someone took a shit in my mouth, Sully.
Park ranger took a shit in your mouth.
We're at this beer festival yesterday. This is why I'm glad Sully stopped by to do the first portion. I wanted to talk about this festival. It was the Slow Food and Slow Beer Festival.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the details of it in a moment. But at the end, it was at Golden Gate Park, and the park rangers came storming in there like in riot gear, in full force, because we were, you know, it was supposed to end at 4, and it was like 4:02. And they were pissed.
They were.
So we're talking to this guy afterward. He was kind of a stoner, so I don't know how much of what he was saying.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if he was Asian or just high.
He was, and he was also floating 2 feet off of the sidewalk. But he's telling us how he's inside, and he found, you know, and he saw when the Rangers got real upset, and he, you know, he's talking to somebody at the festival saying, "You got to go. You know, time's up. You got to get out of here." And the guy turns to the ranger and goes, "I am going to take a shit in your mouth." And the ranger just snapped, which I guess he would. Someone threatens to do that.
He's got the cuffs and the gun.
Yeah. Took him out.
How to use it.
Took him right out of there. They were some angry rangers, though, man. Those rangers, they got nothing to do. Yeah. You know? I heard him yelling at everybody. This was supposed to be over at 4.
Guys, we're closing soon.
It was literally 4:05. And they have obviously, this was a very tame beer festival. They should see some of the others, you know, compared to this one.
Yeah, I agree. It was a very nice one.
So the cool thing about it, though, it's last year it was the Slow Food Festival. It was called Beer and Bites, and there was a lot more food than I think there were brewers involved last year. But this year they really focused on, called it the Slow Beer Festival, and they combined this whole slow food movement with the SF Brewers Guild
and some other breweries. It was great. You had a lot of people sort of embody the slow food kind of mantra of eating sustainable food, local food. You had Hog Island oysters, oysters. Fatted Calf had their sausages there.
They were cool, too, those guys from Fatted Calf.
We did an interview with those guys.
That's the charcuterie.
Charcuterie, yes. Justin's
You're impressed that I know that word, aren't you, Jamil?
No.
Damn it. Maybe next week.
Just gave you that look like he was going to take a shit in your mouth.
Yeah. We can see your word list on the monitor there.
Damn it. I do.
It's spelled phonetically.
Should put the definition there and use them at the right time. It'd be pretty cool.
You ride your motorcycle, right?
I have subscribed to the Word of the Day Club, and they send you a new word every day. As a broadcaster, I feel it's important to
you know, that's something as a broadcaster you should do but not tell people about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See,
I've done that too.
That's your outside voice.
I couldn't remember one word from, you know, a word from one day to the next. Do you actually learn the word?
You have to retain it.
That's, I don't deal with that.
In fact, retain was Friday's word.
How convenient.
Today I'm using it.
When you sign up, the first word they send you is retain.
It should be.
Yeah.
All right. So we did record a bunch of interviews at the festival yesterday. I do fear that many of you could care less about the interviews that we did. I don't know how many of you are going to like this. I really enjoyed it, though.
It was fun.
We mostly interviewed the food producers that were there, and Sully and Dave McLean from Magnolia are the only brewers that we spoke to. So there's not a lot of beer content, except in terms of how it relates to the slow food movement and how they're kind of similar.
Well, brewing is just an extension of that and part of it for the most part. You know, you're doing exactly what these small purveyors are doing that are producing, you know, cheese and sausages and oysters.
They're producing. You are messed up.
I am. I had a whole like head of steam on that one, and I just lost it.
It sounded like it was going in a nice direction.
It did. Thank you, JP. But home brewing, is just an extension of that.
Not
or brewing in general. So
I'll put up that file probably tomorrow. I just got to pull it off the computer, do a little editing. But I think it came out all right. So if you're interested in this kind of thing and, you know, quality, handmade, small batch type of stuff, that's what we're talking about. So it's a lot of food stuff and not too much beer. So I don't know how many of you are going to like it. One thing that was really interesting, though, is that Captain I Hate Al Gore and Global Warming is a Myth over
Who's
here.
Who's that?
JP.
Me.
Was as hippie as ever. He was all about the slow food, man.
I was dancing. It was
you
great.
Know why he was? Because the chicks there were hot.
Oh. Yeah,
there was
some
lookers.
Typical beer festival event, it's like, about 80% guys, 20% girls.
Yeah.
This was exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
What would that have to do with
hot
JP?
Chicks.
Well, I guess, yeah, if I go
because
along
there was
the
more
thing.
Competition for the gay guys, Jamil. Okay, shut up.
Well, I think that's why JP softened up a little bit and was like, oh, yeah, I love slow food, and I really love everything you're talking about at the charcuterie.
Yeah. Everything the girls say, I agree with 100%.
You make cheese, yeah. I eat cheese. And sometimes my toes smell like cheese.
Oh.
Would you like to make out?
Oh, man. So that was probably the best part of, even if you're not into the food thing, just hearing JP talk seriously about the slow food movement, that was exciting.
Yeah.
So I hope you'll enjoy that. I'll put that up this week.
Hang on.
We getting phone calls already?
Oh, yeah.
Who are we talking to?
Hey, it's Push. What are you doing?
Hey.
Hey, it's Push. What are you doing?
It's Happy. You're like...
See, this is the point where I hang up, you jackass. Jesus.
It's Happy McDole.
Yeah. You're like a happy little dwarf when you call in sometimes, Push.
You know what?
We got Tasty, we got Sleepy, now we got Happy.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, Push, what's happening?
I'm about to hang up on a couple of jackasses.
Yeah, I hear you're drunk of the week already.
Are you on the other line or something?
Fucking lit.
Are you? What have you been drinking?
Why do you... What am I? Your little freaking segment?
Yes. And how does it feel?
What has it been all day? It's been Lagunitas Sirius and Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Okay.
Okay.
And a Duval or two.
Not bad.
Or two.
Oh, okay.
And a 750 or two.
Oh,
Duval.
You know, Rodenbach is out in bottles down here now at that little bottle shop.
That's good beer, too. Just had a Rodenbach the other day.
Fucking me up for like 24 hours.
Actually, Jay-Z, we spoke to the proprietors of Monk's
Kettle. Tell the cackler to shut up.
Jesus.
Oh. Someone's wife's going to have...
Angry drunk.
Honey, someone's wife's going to have a black
eye
soon.
Let's take the whiskey from Push. He's an angry dad.
Yeah. You are the angriest little dwarf
good
I've ever
God.
Heard, Push.
Can I get a name change?
To the angry dwarf?
Whatever.
Push the angry dwarf.
Yeah.
The angry drunken dwarf today.
I could offer
when did I become a dwarf?
I don't know. That's just your voice.
About 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Try paying attention.
All right,
fucking loser.
I like this side of Push.
Wow.
This is great.
I've never seen this before.
Yeah. Keep calling
such
in.
Such a nice
can you,
guy.
Yeah, keep us up to date as the show progresses, will you, Push? I want to see how this turns out.
If you can dial a phone without breaking it.
What was that, Push?
I've got to read my kids a couple fairy tales.
All right, you do that and call us when you're done.
You forget I'm in the biz, dude. I know that I'm nothing but entertainment to you right now.
Whoa! And nobody really likes me.
Now you feel cheapened?
No, I kind of like it.
All right,
nice.
Give us a call back, please.
Yeah, don't vomit on your kids.
Later, Push.
Later, shithole.
He's that guy. You know, we all have those friends. When they get drunk, they become mean and angry, and they don't hang out with them.
I think we can skip the angry emails this week. I think we just had
angry that
calling.
Was it.
Push is,
man.
Let's call Child Protective Services.
Well, speaking of the Rodenbach Grand Cru, Jay-Z and I went to Monk's Kettle not too long ago, and I interviewed them yesterday. They were at the festival, Jamil, and I yelled at them for not putting Rodenbach on tap for us.
Yeah, well, they said that they were going to when the Duchess keg blew.
Yeah.
I went there again. They said, oh, well, we had a couple of Duchess kegs we wanted to go through before we put the Rodenbach on. I'm like, what?
Yeah. As of yesterday, still not on tap. They said maybe next week.
What do you want, picketing?
Yeah. We have to go protest.
Who cares? Come on.
End construction. You know, something meaningful. All right.
Wait a minute. Did you tell them who you were?
We did.
Yeah, I said, I'm Tasty McDole. Damn it.
I'm Mr. Longshot.
Look at my picture on this label.
Let me get out of label.
Yeah. You got to turn that into a T-shirt for yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
Just walk around with your own label on your T-shirt.
I'd wear one of those.
So you should get the Sam Adams picture that they drew of you tattooed on your face. That would be cool.
Man, JP's full of good ideas today.
He's Mr. Marketing.
I'll take all that under advice.
Then we should eat glass.
So there's something else I wanted to talk about today too. I don't know if you saw this, Shat. You'd have been offended.
Probably not.
But there's some kind of a feelings party going on in our forum right now, man.
Oh. Really?
Well, first of all, I'm real excited. We're getting a lot of new people signing up there. And a lot of people that introduce themselves say, you know, I've actually been reading this forum for, you know, months or years. I just never participated. And people really kind of joining in and having a good time with us. So I like to see that. And, of course, there's good beer information there, too. But now, over the last couple of days, every once in a while, Sully and I like to talk about this. It's always fun for us. We kind of read through it. Every once in a while, someone posts in the forum how they hate all the other podcasts, how they hate all the other beer shows. It just happens. Like, someone just, you know, is drunk one night, gets a hair up their ass, and decides to post, everybody sucks except for the BN kind of a thing. So somebody did that, and then a couple of days later, wanted to retract all their feelings, and I didn't mean to say that, I take it back, and now there's this whole thing. Now all that there's the other shows are signing up into the forum and signing in there about how they love, everyone loves each other now. I listen to the BN, what a great show, this show's great, my show's great, your show's great.
If we had a show together, that would be great too.
Oh, Jesus, God. Making me sick. We're all a bunch of friends now.
It's funny because I don't even know what the other shows are.
There's a whole bunch.
Is there a bunch out there?
There's a whole bunch.
I think it's the MILFcast, right?
MILFcast.
That's a new one, isn't it? Yeah, there's a whole heap of them.
But they all post in your forum saying how much they love each other.
Well, they are now. It just started. That's what I'm saying. There's this whole feelings fest about how everyone likes each other, and now they like me. Now, no, they don't hate me anymore. They like me.
That's good.
Well, right. I tell you, you know, all the guys who do all these other shows, they're nice guys.
They're
trying hard. They're working, you know, for free, like, you know,
like
so
Justin.
Many people. And, you know.
Join the club.
No, Justin gets paid.
And, you know. Those shows are pretty darn good.
Thanks, Jamil.
Like
all right, yeah. You want to go join the Feelings Fest in the forum?
No, I got no problems with
it. Big radio hug.
I actually, this might surprise you to hear that I posted the same thing. Yeah. The guy who was angry kind of said, you know, all the other shows. So he suggested we boycott. And I said, I don't recommend boycotting anything. I said, people will listen to what they like, and that's that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also said, you know, a couple of the guys that I have met, like Rick is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I like that guy a lot.
And there's another guy who I just met at the Celebrator party. He does, I don't want to get it wrong. It's another Rick. There's two Ricks.
Mm-hmm.
I just met him. He's a real nice guy, too. So a bunch of stand-up guys are there. That's all fine
absolutely.
And good.
Yeah.
But come on. Well, we got to sit around and love each other all day long in the, you know, what's a guy got to do to get hated around here? I gave out a Douche of the Year award.
What you do
get
is
a
fine.
Park ranger.
What I do is different, but it's also fine. And I think there's no reason that two fine things can't coexist in the same thread of time.
Coexist was Wednesday's word.
Wednesday's word.
You have a phone call. You want to guess who it is?
It's a special guest.
Yeah.
One you'll never guess.
Caller, who are we talking to?
Bevo.
Beavis!
Oh, wow.
Bevo.
Are you in Hawaii?
I am in Hawaii.
Oh.
You sound very Bevo. Refreshed and happy. And
she's leaving
smiling. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah?
We just had lunch at Kona Brewing. It was the best thing ever.
Is that code for sex?
No, I think they had lunch at Kona Brewing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. So, how's married life?
It's fine.
Yeah, is it? She hates it already.
Yeah. Satisfied?
It's fine.
Yeah, you sound
it's fine.
Just as unsatisfied.
Shut up, it's fine.
Rehearse that.
Are you leaving your virginity in Hawaii?
No.
What?
You're left in Oakland.
Oh, you left in
Oakland.
Nice.
Way to go,
what was
Sammy.
The guy's name?
Celine.
Tyrone.
We had a bet going. My prediction was that you were going to wait till it was all romantic and in Hawaii and stuff. I didn't think you guys would go for it in Oakland.
No.
Nah, good for you. Good for Sam. Best 8 seconds of his life.
It really was.
Oh.
Are you back with us next week?
I am.
Okay, cool. I was going to announce that, hoping that you'd be here.
I'll be there.
So you're having a nice honeymoon.
Very nice, yeah. I'm kind of sad we come home tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, what a drag. Back to normal life.
Yeah, and I'm a retard and decided to go back to work on Tuesday, so...
Whoa.
Shouldn't
have done
suck.
That.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, definitely shouldn't have done
know.
That. All right, well, I'm glad you're checking in with us. That is nice to hear that you guys aren't dead, or...
Nope, we're still alive.
Wonderful.
We just went snorkeling. It was great.
Really?
Is that code for sex?
No.
Oh, okay.
Actual snorkeling.
Snorkeling, yeah.
I was snorkeling her, and then
we had the lunch.
Water.
And then we had lunch at Kona Brewing. Yeah.
Sam, get your mask. Going snorkeling.
Look out below.
And where does Sam passed out right now?
No, he's watching Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls.
That's Sam.
That is
that code for sex?
You wait 4 years for sex, and you get to Hawaii to do it, and you're watching Ace Ventura. Not one, but two.
But two. Yeah.
We're about to go surfing. I just thought I'd check in before we go.
Is wow. that code for something?
You're going surfing, huh?
No, we're really surfing. It's not code for anything.
What is the code?
You guys are really boring.
Yeah. You guys have a safe word yet?
Christians.
Dude, we had an itinerary. We had to get everything done.
Oh, wow. You're so married. Yeah. You guys had an itinerary. Yeah.
So as soon as we got out of the limo, we had sex, got that over with, then we drank, then we got on the plane, then the itinerary. Blah, 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 blah.
Itinerary was Tuesday's word. All right, Beavis, thank you for checking in with us.
No problem.
I'm glad to hear you guys are doing well.
See you guys next Sunday, if not before then.
Okay, tell Sam to get his ass home and clean his shit up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Tell him to wear a condom when snorkeling.
Push is now sending
us
angry pictures.
Is he mad?
Yeah. What's going on?
Look at that. You should post that on the forum.
He's so happy.
It's a photograph of Push flipping off JP.
Oh, yo, boy.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Where's Doc?
Oh, yeah, no Doc this week. He has...
I just noticed that now.
Whoops.
Oh, look, he's not here.
Yeah, damn it. Now, he's got the kids. The wife's out of town on a retreat, a friend thing. I don't know what's happening. I know he's got the kids.
Is that code for something?
Yeah, she's out.
I don't know the code.
I was supposed to go over and hang with him last night and get hammered because he's like strapped to the house, but yeah. I didn't. I got hammered elsewhere. I couldn't make it out there. So he's back with us next week, I think. Actually, he left me a message today, speaking of our topic today, if we ever get around to it, competition brewing. Mm. He wants to get a couple brew days in before the entry deadlines so that him and I can enter a couple of beers. I get to be co-brewer, you know, when they announce those medals.
So he's going to carry your ass into the second round? Is that?
That's pretty much, you think I'm ever going to win a medal another way, JaVale?
Not like getting some for nothing, man.
And if it doesn't work with Doc this year, I'm moving into your brewery next year.
Yeah, there you go. So. You'll come by and drink some beers while
you brew.
Happen.
Yeah, and I'll write my name down as assistant brewer in your pro mash.
Sounds good.
I got to get a medal. I got to get me a medal somehow. And I figure this
I'll
is the
I'll
sell
way. You one.
It's gonna happen. Yeah, that's not the same. You know?
I got
to clean a mash tun or something. I got to earn it, you know.
I got things you could do to earn it.
Tasty, how many medals do you have? You've won your fair share of NHC medals.
I don't know. A lot of them are on like a 3-inch nail. It's full of medals, you know.
Really?
Okay, ribbons, I don't need those are like in a box. Who knows what?
You've got boxes of ribbons.
Yeah. I stopped entering so many competitions.
Again. Yeah.
Like, what am I doing this for?
What about just the NHC, though?
Yeah, of course I enter that one. That's.
But you've got what? I think you've got two, three medals?
Oh, I've got four, yeah.
Four medals.
Yeah, since.
A lot for your fruit beer. That's what you do well with that.
I placed twice in the second round with the fruit beer, yeah.
He hates that. It's like Sully being known as the watermelon wheat guy, yeah. You know?
I don't care.
You can never shake that.
I don't. You know what? I could write a check with it. I'll do it.
Then you're fine with that.
If I could, you know,
I don't
my
feel
kid
too,
to school.
I don't feel too bad because the base beer, the Dormunder Export, is placed as well.
Hold on. Every year, Mike, he'd be like, ah, oh, damn, the only thing I got going on in the second round is this fruit beer, which is like, you know, I just added some fruit extract to this, you know, beer that...
It's all fucking weak,
it's like,
it?
Ah!
I remember.
And so he'll be all ticked off, and then we'll be there at the second round awards. He's like, I'll tell you, if I win something, I'm not even going up
there.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm not going to get it.
I'm going to, like, flip him off from down here, and I'm not even going to stand up. And I'm like, no way. I said, I bet you win, you'll stand up, you go up there and pick it up.
Damn.
He's like, yeah, that's what kind of whore I am. I'll go up
there. I'm just that kind of whore.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I was pumping my fist.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
I took first place at anything.
Yeah,
too much information.
Like, screw all these people.
weird.
You all right, Sully?
I tell you, when you win one of those, it's pretty good.
Look at you, man. You are in bad shape today.
Just tired.
All right. So the guy who started the feelings thread is on the phone. We want to talk to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
DJ Gray, I think? I don't know.
DJ, what's happening?
Fuck feelings.
Yeah! That's it. See? That's what I'm talking about.
Getting
all soft in there.
I want to clear the air. I feel I'm being painted as the bitch.
Well, the shoe fits.
When you carry the pants.
Well, so what you
did... Bad Rock kind of gave me hell, too.
Yeah, everyone was giving you hell, actually. When he came back and changed his mind, a bunch of people got in like, hey, don't be such a pussy. Yeah. Say what you mean and mean what you say.
Well, no, it's not that I didn't mean what I said. It's just I feel it makes more sense to be, you know, diplomatic.
Yeah, you're right. Plus,
it's a small world.
Plus, you got called out by some of them other podcasters, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I think they sent him emails like... What did they say? What did you get emails about?
Oh, just, of course you expected us to retaliate, and I guess, you know, douche of the year, you got to retaliate to that.
Mm.
It's good-natured ribbing, and I think they took it that way. It's just some of them kind of whined a little bit much.
Yeah, that's what you were posting about, right?
It gives them something to do, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I've just kind of reconsidered. I've listened to their shows a little bit more, and everybody's doing something a little bit different, and there's room for everybody.
There you go.
So you're kind of like Push right now, or tomorrow morning, because Push is going to wake up and go like, I can't believe I was that big of an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm a drunk asshole when he listens to this replay.
I'm so sorry.
And he's going to be crying and whining. Exactly, Jamil.
Sully, someone in the chat room is keeping track of your time. Your 30 minutes is up, officially. Oh,
yeah, I don't want you to get in trouble.
Who said that?
Stephanie.
Hop's head.
All right. Well, no, you're right. You got to, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, think a little more and then go back and you know, repost. So
not really.
That was.
I just kind of wanted to put
JP.
It to bed because, you know, it's kind of like beating the patch of grass where a dead horse once lay now.
Hmm? I love that saying.
I just used that today.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys.
All right, brother. Thanks, DJ.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
All right, later. All right, good guy. Good guys all around. Everyone's a good guy, okay?
Yeah!
Boy, oh boy.
We love them.
Bunch of feelings people.
Oh my god!
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
Remix.
I'm keeping it now.
You should.
Forget it. I like the remix.
You should put some sirens in there.
Okay, lots of different feedback this week. Yeah, just weird stuff coming in. Got a bunch of thank yous. A lot of stuff about Jamil. I got some of those. I threw it all out.
Push is texting me now.
So you guys remember our Drunk of the Week last week? Grubbs?
Yeah.
Did we give
Grubbs.
Him Drunk of the Week?
Yeah. I think we did.
Well, he wanted to clear the air. He says, what's up, Jay? I had to listen again on Monday. Oh, actually, he's drunk again. In this, I should read it accordingly. I got a lot of good comments about my drunken reading last week because people send me drunk emails, so I thought I should read it like they probably sound when they're writing it.
I agree.
And let me do that again.
Sounds like a feeling, but I agree.
What's up, Jay? What was that?
I don't know.
What's up, Jay?
How you doing? Listen, Armando got the teeth gelling, and we're gonna go. So all aboard.
Sometimes I just mix up my accent. I had to listen again on Monday, but I have to say you guys did a good job on me. It was hilarious, even though I was too retarded to comprehend what was going on. I love the show. We'll definitely keep on listening. Next time, just hang up on me. I'll send you some beer. Or let me know what you want. I'll send it. If you haven't figured out yet, I'm drunk at the moment and have a babbit of babbling. Son, I will be back at work and won't be able to listen live, but I plan on Drunk of the Year, Douche of the Year, BN Army for Life, Pro Scrubs!
I've also had palsy for 5 years now.
Yeah. So he wanted to clear the air. He's still drunk. Hey, BN, I thought I'd write back to you guys. This was the guy who wrote... Tasty, remember we were talking about the guy, he wanted to know if his friend was a douche or a homo because he called Sam Adams' beer thick.
Oh, yeah.
And we said, you know, we needed more information.
Yeah.
You know, maybe be nice to the guy, don't call him a douche or a homo. Well, on further investigation, we might have to change that. Here's what he says. My first mistake was using the word thick instead of high gravity or flavor. Secondly, my homebrewing BN listener co-worker mentioned I should have included more background. Mr. Sam Adams is thick, should have been described as a Bud Light drinker that thinks normal Bud is a full-bodied beer, and anything with a higher gravity than that is more like sludge than anything drinkable. And he often puts them down as crap. And when I asked him if he ever had a Guinness, he said no, and I never will. As a redneck that lives in a trailer and uses two cars as sheds, I thought he would be able to handle good beer. But he apparently is not capable of drinking anything good. In all seriousness, I must rag on him and him on me. Blah, blah, blah. They've been working together for a while. But he does need it to be clarified. Is he a douche or a homo?
Well, I don't know. There's no anal penetration, so you can't really call him a homo.
I say he's a douche.
Yeah.
I think if you need a ruling, I rule douche. Sully?
Douche.
Tasty?
Yeah, douche.
Jay-Z?
Douche.
All right. Shat, we don't care what you think. And he goes on to say, BN rocks, keep learning every time I listen. And he even signed up into the BN Army. He donates $2 a month. That makes him a private. And thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Every bit helps. That is awesome.
Private friend of douche.
I got an email from Crazy Bitch.
Oh!
This week.
Chad's looking worried.
Or their pictures.
And by the way, we do have a Crazy Bitch update, which we'll save for the end of the program.
Yes.
Okay. This is Angry Crazy Bitch, and I've got some goddamn feedback for your stupid show. Apparently she's gay.
Sounds just like her.
She's a gay Puerto Rican 45-year-old man in Miami.
I think I'll go back to my regular voice.
I want to know.
Is there a difference?
Could you keep using that voice?
I mean,
read me this story while you do it.
It says, Justin, you talk crap about me because you can't handle all this.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's probably true, too.
The only thing mysterious about me is how I make this shit look so good. That's what she said.
See with her hand going back and
forth. Oh, yeah. And then she says, damn, Chad, you're a two-timing, trash-talking, pot-bellied son of a bitch.
Oh.
And I'm
that's
only
accurate description.
Yeah. At least she's fair. Well.
Your mom's a very nice lady. Don't ever talk about her like
naked.
That.
Yes. And I'm only going to come over when you stop insisting on wearing that nasty leather thong into bed.
Oh!
That's gross, Chad.
Yeah.
Giving away all the secrets.
All sweaty.
I wanted you all to know, the last time I was over, I shit in your toilet tank.
What's it called, an upper deck?
It's an upper decker. She gave us an upper decker, Chad.
That's great.
That bitch. So she said, last time I was over, I shit in your toilet tank. And I routinely use Justin's toothbrush to clean my diaphragm.
No!
That's just wrong.
That's just going to make her diaphragm all dirty. Big mistake.
That's true.
She ends with, Doc, why haven't you called me? I thought we had something special. With love, Crazy Bitch.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Apparently she does tune in. Who knew? All right.
Wow.
I gotta get through this stuff. Guys and JP.
That's this person.
I just wanted to say the Celebrator show that we did from the anniversary, which I finally got to listen to, was phenomenal.
Oh. Yeah, Sully.
How about that? Either you guys have been so shitty lately, then just a regular quality show seems amazing.
Yeah, probably.
Or you really brought it strong. I'd love to see or hear all those guests live in the studio for a full show. And that's from Crazy Monkey in the form. But then he goes on to, like, critique my interviewing and says, like, you should have done this and you should have done that. So I guess he really didn't like it. How can you say phenomenal and then correct how the show is done in the same email?
Captain Communication Professor.
You can't do that.
He has high standards.
Yeah. Sully, you didn't like yourself on that show.
Nope.
Sully calls me after every appearance and goes,
what did I do?
Did I do that? Was I too much? Should I not have made fun of Stephanie like that? No, but you. What
I
did you
be
think?
Calling Stephanie about that?
What did you think you'd,
yeah.
What you? Yeah,
I'm asking you about that.
What did you think? You talked too much.
Push, I'm a happy drunk.
Yeah,
and I talk fast, and I'm very energized, and I think everything I say is really funny, like JP, and that's what happened on that show.
Okay,
you'll get the notes for that.
Send me the notes. Hey, Justin, it was great hearing the show get back on track last week. I laughed my ass off at your hungover recap of Bevo's wedding. See, Tasty, it wasn't so bad. Funny shit. And Chris LaPierre was a great guest with a lot of great info to share. I agree with that. Now, I know you worked your ass off the previous week during the Celebrator party, and it was an okay show. However, you started to sound a little like Ryan Seacrest kissing celebrity ass on the red carpet during the Oscars.
Whoa. Why are you watching that?
Says, I kept waiting for you to ask Tom Daldorf what designer he was wearing. No offense, but I think the show is better when you can interact with callers and the asshats in the chat room.
You know, I know what designer Daldorf wears. It's Levi's. Okay? Yeah.
So he didn't like my...
Because always with the...
I got it.
Right.
So... You all right, JP?
I'm great.
Good. Yeah. I don't know. Was I kissing ass a lot during that show?
I didn't think so. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Punch them all in the mouth?
You're showing respect.
You got to do that. And when you have a crowd of people in front of you that, like, respect
those
brewers.
No, you weren't looking for sponsors.
I didn't, like, send them all home with a sponsor pack.
And when a guy says you sound like Ryan Seacrest interviewing people on the red carpet, how do you know that? Analogy. How do you know that?
He's probably married. You have to watch that stuff when you're married or when you're Sully.
I don't watch that show yet.
I missed it.
When I get home.
Yeah.
TiVo. This is from Sheen in Connecticut. So, Shat, he also says the UConn men's basketball team's starting to kick some ass.
Oh, yeah.
And he says if they make it to the Elite Eight in March, he pledges $100 to the BN.
All right.
So, I'm always rooting for UConn to go to the eight or the Final Four or anything anyway, so this is double rooting now.
Then we take that $100, go to Tahoe, and bet on win it
bet
all.
On the, yeah, that's right. I don't think we're going to win it all, man. I mean, we're looking better, but...
It's a court, not a field.
It's going to be tough. No, it's a field of teams that are end up on the court.
God damn you, JP.
Something like gay porn.
Okay.
A field of teams.
This guy was angry, he wrote to me. This was about one of the archives. I guess the archive got cut. Like, sometimes people will email me asking if I didn't post the whole show because it just cuts off. But it's not my fault. It's iTunes or whatever happens. This guy goes, how much trouble is it to post the whole discussion? Who's clipping the friggin' shows?
Well, sometimes when they download them. Try downloading a second time.
Well, this is what I ended up writing back to him. But he goes, kind of insulting. He says, yeah, who's clipping the frigging shows? I don't think it's the first time I've been dropped in the middle of what is getting interesting. Wonder about all those great discussions about rims and herms. Should I bother listening to the 40-plus minutes of bullshit on each show if you're going to clip out the content?
Yes.
Douche! Try downloading it a second time!
Wow.
Freaking moron.
So I just wrote back to her like, all right, angry guy, listen, it's not my fault. It's your end. So you're going to have to, you know, just resubscribe.
Another 20,000 people downloading don't seem to have a problem. Maybe it's your fault.
Wow. Real Networks guy's upset.
Until Jamil's done tech support.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This is a way of venting on the show. Typically he's like, well, what you want to do?
Yeah.
Let's not be such an idiot.
Sully, Steph asked me to set that timer for you. You got to go, man.
We're almost done with the first segment. Then we're going to go to break. Last thing I got to read is...
You have a phone call, too. Don't forget that.
I do?
Yeah.
I didn't even know. All right, we'll do that. Hang on. I'm not going to read this whole email, but you know that dude, Brew Engineer, in the forum?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out in San Francisco.
Yeah, he wanted me to give a bunch of thank yous for him because he had a great trip out here. It sounded like an epic tour.
He's a nice guy, too.
Did you get to meet him?
Yeah.
Cool.
We covered it last week.
Him and his wife.
Did I do this email from him, though?
I think you did last week, yeah.
No, you didn't do an email. He had called in.
On his trip last week. But here, he just wanted to thank everybody. He said that the BN really made his trip happen because of the places that we talked about and then our listeners helping him out. So he says, wanted to write and give a special thank you to a few BN Army members that really made an effort to make our trip fun. Drew Beecham invited them to the Anchor Brewery, which both you guys were at, right, Jamil?
Yeah, I ran into him right there.
That's where you saw him. All right.
That was a Saturday at the Barley Wine Fest, after the Barley Wine Fest?
Yeah. So big thanks to Drew. Drew's a good dude. Due to our travel plans, we were going to miss out on the brewery tour, but thanks to Drew, we got to see the brewery and attend a great party with the Maltose Falcons, so that was cool. Sully, good old Melonhead himself, he says, had the staff at the 2-1-A set aside a six-pack of IPA. Wow. I'll tell you what, I can't even get a six-pack of that stuff. That's pretty...
That's cool.
He actually contacted me, and I said, well, we are running low, and... we'll probably run out before you get there, so I made a point of setting aside a six-pack for him so he could take it back.
Well, he says those cans did, in fact, make it back to New York in his luggage without incident. Gotta love it in the can, he says.
Gotta love it in the can, right, Jay-Z?
I love it in the can, I'll tell you.
Mike McDowell, another amazing brewer and all-around good guy. In the days leading up to the trip, he tried to arrange a meeting so that he could taste your Sam Adams double IPA. But he says, unfortunately, you guys weren't able to meet. But he wanted to thank you anyway. He says, you're a generous brewer. And you deserve the award.
He was probably furniture shopping with Chad or something.
wants to thank Jamil. Met him at the anchor party. Was a great guy. He says he didn't want to monopolize your time, but you were very helpful.
He was really nice because, you know, a lot of people, they just run up to you and go, hey, tell me, you know, how much do I put into this? And, you know,
how I like what the hop burner. Do I,
yeah. This guy was, you know, he's like, hey, would you mind if I asked you a couple of questions? He goes, I don't want to, you know, intrude if you're enjoying yourself. I don't want to.
Yeah.
He says, I don't want to, you know, make you work.
That's nice.
It was very nice. Very nice guy.
Well, you're used to them, like, coming up and attacking you, right?
Yeah, some people are like, hey, you know, why isn't, you know, it's like.
What's the deal with these hops?
Give me your underwear.
Yeah. I don't mind, but yeah, it was really nice that this guy was very, very kind, very easygoing.
He says he also met Otter Brew and Pete the Dink, a couple listeners from our forum, and both great guys. He says even his wife enjoyed visiting all the breweries. So, anyways, just giving a big thanks to everybody, and that's pretty cool. He donated $103 to the BN. He says it's the same amount as my dinner at the bar tab from the 21st Amendment, and I thought if I can give Sully $103, I can give the BN $103.
Right. That's cool.
That is cool. I thought that was really
great,
nice of him.
That's great.
Very generous of you. Thank you, my brother.
So he didn't drink that much?
I guess not. That was a canned laugh, wasn't it?
Well, you know, he's a canned guy.
All day long.
Hey, shut the door.
All right. Who's on the phone here?
Crystal.
Abroad with big boobs? Is that what you've written here?
Boobs. Oh, I'm sure she has boobs.
Crystal, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Crystal. What's happening? And who is Crystal, by the way? Do we know her?
No.
Oh.
She just called and
I said, fuck feelings.
Oh, yeah. Good for you. Another Shat fan, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And are you a regular listener?
Not really, but my husband is. He loves you guys.
Listen to that cute accent she's got.
I actually found you on iTunes.
What, are you from Seattle?
He's a homebrewer. And so I thought I'd be nice and, you know, download it and see what he thought of it. And he absolutely loves you, and he listens to you all the time. And he's trying to go back into the archives and, like, get all your old shows. I mean,
that's great.
Kind
of
sad.
What part of Texas are you from?
What part of Compton do you live in?
Around here, there's not a whole lot of homebrewers, you know, really talk to, because we live in South Georgia.
Oh, okay. Georgia.
So there's not a whole lot of you guys around here, so he really doesn't have anybody that shares his hobbies. So.
Well, he's got us now. Now he's one of us.
And you're doing the talking
for him.
Yeah.
A loving cup.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Chris. And thanks for turning on your husband to the show. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Sure.
And thanks for turning on Sully.
All right.
I love the Southern girls.
Bye, Crystal.
Call anytime.
All right.
Cheers.
Have a good night.
You too. All right.
We should give her a story to read us on the air or something.
JP, what's going on over there?
An erotic story.
Yeah.
And
then one day...
About unicorns and rainbows.
Yes.
It's your Hustler subscription subscriber or something like that?
Maybe.
Just asking.
We'll call her back, JP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit the call star 69.
Okay.
So you called us. All right. That's nice. We like hearing from females.
Yeah, definitely.
It's good to know that there's like one out there.
Notice how we're like shocked.
You know.
Every time I've noticed this actually listening when I haven't been here and females have called the show.
Everybody changes.
The place gets really quiet because you're like, it's like, what?
A woman wants to talk to us?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like hunting a deer. When you don't want to spook her.
When Vanna called in one time, I think, it was like everybody, and she said something kind of erotic.
Yeah.
Everybody got really quiet. Like,
What?
You can almost hear the flesh growing. It's so quiet in here.
What does that mean?
It's real quiet.
That just happens when I take a pill.
All right. We're going to take a break here. Thanks for sticking with us through all of that. And when we come back, we're going to get to the brew information. We got Jamil Zanishev here and Tasty McDole, and we're going to be talking about entering beers for competition. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can not only order from More Beer online at morebeer.com and receive free shipping on most orders over $59, but you can also shop in person at their two retail locations located in Concord and Riverside, California. In fact, the Concord facility has grown to over 15,000 square feet to fit all the new products, expanded showroom, and new Knowledge Center classroom. And now, in conjunction with the Brewing Network, More Beer is making it easier than ever to keep up on what's happening. Download the More Beer Monthly Podcast by clicking Podcast at morebeer.com. You'll learn about More Beer's history, sales and discounts on More Beer products, get to know team members, and hear ways to save you money. They're also launching a brand new website soon with more features and a better online shopping experience. So go to morebeer.com or call 800-600-0033. That's 800-600-0033.
Life is too short to drink shitty, shitty beer.
See me right out of that sunset on your color TV screen. After all that I can get, if you know what I mean, y'all. Women to the left of me, women to the right. Ain't got no gun, ain't got no knife. Don't you start no fight. Oh, I said, boy, cause I'm TNT dynamite. TNT, and I win that fight. TNT, I'm a power to love. Unclean. I'm a wanted man. Public enemy number one. You understand? So lock up your daughter, lock up your wife, lock up your back door, run for your life. The man is back in town. So don't you mess around. Boy, I said, boy, cause I'm TNT. I'm dynamite. TNT. I'll win that fight. TNT. I'm a power load.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to The Brewing Network.
The Brewing Network, saving your life.
One beer at a time.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Got a lot to get to today. And a lot of good information we're going to be covering, too. NHC is coming up soon. Got to get your beers ready. When's the deadline to enter beers? Do you know, Jay-Z, off the top of your head?
Probably April 12th, 11th? April 11th, I think.
So you should be ready by the beginning of April, essentially. So, you know, I would say that some of these beers should already have been brewed. But there's
You get 6 weeks, 5 weeks-ish.
Okay. So you definitely have time. And there, of course, there are beers that Brewed you can do. You know, if you want to do a nice Hefeweizen, you can do that.
Yeah,
really late.
And a lot of the English beers will, you know, be ready quickly.
Okay,
but you know, forget doing lagers. Forget doing, you know, really big beers.
Okay, are you still brewing for NHC, Jay-Z, or are you done?
Well, I jacked up my back, so I've been having troubles brewing.
Hmm.
So I want to brew. Yeah, you're happy, aren't you?
No.
Tasty's all excited.
No. That was a sad look. No.
Yeah, those thumbs up were sad. I could tell. Those are sad thumbs up.
Yeah, and by my back hurts, I mean Tasty hit me with a bat.
Yeah. I was just, you know, feeling for Chris England or somebody. You know, you're a real competition.
I think I might be able to squeeze in one more.
Yeah. How many beers will you be entering this year?
55,000.
60, 70, who knows?
How many did you enter last year? You entered a shitload of beer last year, didn't you?
I can't even remember. Generally, I get in anywhere from 30 to 50.
Okay. That's a lot of beer. Jesse over there at More Beer, one of the newer showroom guys there, mm-hmm. Cool kid and a good brewer, too.
Okay, yeah.
What did you tell me? He's made like 20 for NHC or something? Oh, hang on, let me turn your mic
on. Yeah, like 25 beers.
25 beers.
It's like crazy.
It'll be his first time, I think, ever entering, too. He's not been brewing for very long.
Brews like 3-4 times a week or something.
Does it?
Yeah. Nothing to put four beers into ferment 1 week.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of beers entered into this competition. We really are going to focus on the NHC
largest here. Competition in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, over 5,000 beers are going to be entered in this thing.
So, statistically, if you want a medal, and we've mentioned on this show and all the shows so many times, you know, you got to have a good beer, but you also got to have a lot of luck. Things have to be, you know, kind of lined up.
Yeah, most of it is having a good beer, though.
Okay. But so, if you just enter one good beer...
No, you know, there's lots of people that enter one good beer, and, you know, they place with it.
Yeah.
Now, and here's the thing. And Mike and I like to talk about, well, you know, it becomes a bit of a crapshoot at a certain point. But, you know, the ticket to get into it being a crapshoot is brewing great beer to start with.
Mm.
Okay? You're not brewing crappy beer and getting in. If you enter 1,000... so-so beers, you're not going to place with even one of them. There's not that much luck involved in it. Okay, the initial process, there's two rounds of judging, and those two rounds of judging will knock out any really bad beer. It'll knock out any okay beer.
Okay, the second
the first and second round, maybe if there's like something bizarre happens, maybe. Just a really good beer will place. But that's really pushing your luck.
Yeah, that would be a bad judging
year. Right. So that's the only way you're going to get a medal in the second round. I would think every beer that medals in the second round is really a very, very good beer.
Okay.
For third place. And then, you know, and sometimes, like, great beers don't place... But that doesn't mean crappy beers are placing. It means like a very, very good beer placed instead of a great beer. You know, some of the great beers get left behind accidentally.
Okay.
And, you know, slightly lesser beers do place. That's the luck factor that we're talking about.
Okay.
All the rest is brewing skill. It's brewing, you know, really good beers or great beers. To get yourself into the second round and then get through that second round.
Okay.
You know, you can't be brewing junky beers and place.
You hear that, Shat?
Oh, yeah. I'm tuned in.
And by the way, Tasty, my Dortmunder's better than yours.
Oh, calling me out.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have Jamila.
I wasn't aware you had a Dortmunder, Jay.
Break the tie.
No, it's Doc's, but I was there.
Okay. Oh.
Which makes it mine.
And, you know,
that's like saying you have a Hummer, then.
Just a stupid question about entering these beers. How many bottles are you actually sending?
That is a stupid
question. Where do you find that information?
For the first round, you send one bottle.
Okay.
Okay. It's important that you're sending 12-ounce bottles or something in the range. They say 10 to 14 ounces. But, you know, generally 12-ounce bottles. You can't send little dinky bottles. You can't send big bombers or anything like that. No swing tops, none of that crud. 12-ounce bottles.
No labels. Make them look clean and nice.
Yeah. Peel off all the labels. You know, if there's any markings on the cap whatsoever, you know, color it out with a Sharpie. And you'll send one bottle in for the first round. But make sure you have at least three more bottles to send into the second round, unless you're going to rebrew it. And you won't have much time, so especially if it's anything other than a really, like a, you know, you could do like a Scottish 70 shilling real quick and get that in, but if you don't have those three bottles, you're in trouble in the second round. So just set aside, you know, four bottles, send one into the first round. If it doesn't make it to the second round, go ahead and drink the extra three bottles, but have them set aside for every entry you make.
Okay.
You really don't want to leave yourself out of the second round.
Yeah. And you want to avoid having to rebrew.
Right. And that happens every year. There's, yeah. You know, not every beer that makes it to the second round goes to the, appears in the second round. So, like there is, this year there's 10 regions. And that would mean that there's a first, second, and third in each region, and, you know, 30 beers would make it to the second round. Well, you know, a lot of these categories end up with 20-some-odd entries. Mm. Sometimes they don't pick three winners in a region. Sometimes, you know, even though somebody won, they don't send the beers in. They don't want to ship them or, you know, they didn't save the beers is probably the most common mistake.
What a waste.
Regan did that 2 years ago. He had a mead go to the second round, but in the month and a half before it was due,
he drank them all.
Yeah. It only takes one drunken night where you run out of beer or something.
You're like, oh, this is really good. So you drink them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. That's why it made it to the second round.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you set those aside, put them somewhere cool and stable. You know, don't leave them sitting on the porch in the sunlight.
Yeah.
You know, put them in the fridge, you know, and keep them stable until it's time to ship them off.
I got a caller question for you. And by the way, 888-401-BEER if you guys want to do that and ask Jay-Z or Tasty questions about their competition brewing and any of this stuff all show long. Or join JP in the chat room there. We already got some coming through.
Join me!
Adam's on the line. Adam, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going real well. How are you?
Good. Hey, this isn't a direct competition question other than the fact that I am trying to get ready for the NHC. And I've been brewing for about a year and a half. Things have been going well. But I've run into a string of now three batches in a row that are very astringent. And as time goes on, the astringency in it increases. And so I know I'm probably looking at an infection. But it's minors. From everything I can think of, my cleaning and sanitizing practices are tight. So I was wondering if there's any tips you guys could give me.
All right, guys.
Well, if it's astringent, so I'm not sure it's really astringent if it's an infection.
It's really dry. It leaves your palate very dry, like to the top of your mouth and tongue.
Right. So, it's such a complex thing when the beers go wrong. So, if it's an infection, let's say you have a wild yeast or a bacteria that's, you know, consuming the long chain dextrins and drying out the beer and making it super dry beer. Okay, that wouldn't necessarily be astringent. Astringent is, again, that tea bag thing and grain husks and kind of a puckering type of character. So, I mean, that
There's
may be
no
the case.
Body left in the beer.
Right, but so you were saying astringent before. Is the beer really super dry and thin, or is
it? No, it's not dry. There's still body left. I mean, there's still residual sugars in there.
Uh-huh.
Like the porter I just did, it tastes good until the end, and then it's real puckering.
Yeah, see, so again, it may be astringent then, and then astringency, though, if you had some sort of bacterial contamination or a wild yeast or something like that, generally it doesn't make a beer astringent.
Okay.
And so if the thing is, if it's changing over time and it's becoming more and more, you know, puckering or whatever you're detecting, then generally it is some sort of contamination. So some sort of wild yeast or bacteria, because, you know, they tend to continue their process. If it's something that happened while you're brewing, let's say, you know, your pH was really high and your mash temperature was really high and you extracted a lot of tannins from the grains, you know, that would stay constant. Or, you know, sometimes it even drops out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that could be another thing. So if something stays consistent, then it's generally a brewing process thing. If something changes over time and increases, it tends to be a contamination thing. So okay. What do you think it is at this point? Contamination or brewing
process? It would have to be a contamination, because I've been brewing a sweet stout since I started. That's really been a go-to beer for me. And this last one that I brewed was the first time that I had this issue, and it's gotten to the point to where I won't drink it. Mm-hmm. You know, as I've had it bottled, I just won't drink it because it's got so much. So, to me, it sounds more like it would be an infection.
So, are you repitching yeast? Are you making starters?
Nope. I'm making good starters. I'm using Erlenmeyer, so I don't have to transfer.
Uh-huh.
You know, wort from one thing to another. Uh-huh. And I really am very tight on, at least as far as I can tell, I'm not in a hazmat suit like you are, but
nobody is that freaky.
I know that I'm pretty tight on my practices.
Uh-huh.
So.
And what are you fermenting in? Carboys, conicals,
I'm fermenting
plastic?
Carboys. The only plastic that it'll come into contact with is my racking cane, mm-hmm. my tubing,
mm-hmm.
Which I use new tubing every time, and I soak in. I've been using OxyClean Free for a few months, and I haven't had an issue with that so far for cleaning. And mm-hmm. then I do Star Sand.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty clean.
Yeah. Yep. Nobody's like pulling the stopper and spitting in your beer?
Yeah.
I hope
that's
not.
That's my question.
And so what,
and keeps pissing in it.
You've brewed this successfully before.
Oh, the sweet stout I've done probably six times.
And now it's starting out not so good, and it's getting worse over time.
Yeah, at first it tasted like an excess amount of bitterness
uh-huh.
in the finish of the beer.
Uh-huh.
And with that sweet stout, it's your recipe.
Uh-huh.
And, it's, you know, there's not bitterness in the back of that beer. You know,
right.
I mean, that's not the dominating taste at the end.
Hmm.
Stump the Jameen.
So I'm bat sparging. I'm not going over 168
mm-hmm.
ever. I've calibrated my thermometer, so I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, I don't think that's any of the problem. And again, if it's getting worse over time, then it's some sort of contamination thing.
So now I have a plastic funnel that I've used for since I've been brewing.
Uh-huh.
So I've problem solved down to that it's possible, because I will I rack out of my brew kettle into the carboy, and but I put that funnel in first.
Uh-huh.
And it's plastic.
Yeah.
It's just like a plastic bucket. It can get nicked up, I'm sure, and have things
right,
living
right,
in
right.
it. So I thought possibly that.
Well, funnels are cheap. Get yourself another funnel.
Uh-huh.
Try that.
Quit
you
brewing.
Know, this is one of those really tough ones where, I'd say send us a bottle of the beer if you can.
Okay.
And, you know, let's taste what you're tasting, and then it would make it much easier to determine what's wrong. Because, you know, when you taste the beer and you've experienced problems before, it's really easy to say, oh, you know, this seems related to this or that, and then to, mm-hmm. to troubleshoot it better.
Okay.
I wish I could give you better information on this, but I'm kind of stuck based on what you've told me.
No, that's fine. What I'm planning on doing is I'm planning on getting another funnel.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to brew up a couple of small things. Like, I think I'm just going to do an ordinary bitter.
Uh-huh.
So something that's not going to cost me a lot to brew.
Right.
And just, I think I'm going to get a different racking cane. The only things that I think could be a cleanliness issue.
Right.
I'm going to get out, and I'll do that. I'll send you guys a bottle.
Okay.
And you can give me some ideas from that, too.
Yeah, again, if it's getting worse over time, it's got to be some sort of contamination.
The guys in the chat are suggesting maybe it's something with this guy's water, and we kind of get more if he has a water softener.
And actually, I was thinking about that earlier, and I forgot to ask that question. Thank you. It's, you know, I was going to say, is your water changing over time? Because one of the things that happens is the water utilities, they will... you know, they're drawing from wells at one point, and then later on they'll start to you know, draw from the rivers, things like that. And so your water makeup will change. But then I kind of rejected that because he's saying it's changing over time. And if it was like a real minerally water all of a sudden, or a different pH or something like that, you know, it's not going to change over time. And once you brew it, it's going to stay pretty steady.
That'd be part of the process or the, or the recipe.
Process-related instead of... And once it's process-related, it tends not to change. The beer tends to stay pretty stable. It's you know, bacterial when it's... you know, wild yeast when it changes once it's brewed.
Well, send us a bottle, Adam. Just email Chad, thebrewingnetwork.com, and we'll taste it.
We'll taste it. We'll figure it out.
See if we can narrow it down.
Hey, I appreciate all the work you guys are doing. It's wonderful.
Sure. Thanks, brother. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot.
Later.
Bye.
All right. Good questions. A little troubleshooting for Jay-Z. Can see the smoke coming out of his ears, racking his brains over there. And by the way, we're drinking a little bit of Tasty's Long Shot beer.
Racking my brains? Is that code for anything?
I think so. JP, what's that code for?
What?
Never mind, JP. Okay. Go back to your chat.
Thank you.
To your instant messaging.
Stephanie was in here looking for Sully.
Ah, gotcha. Sully's gone, Steph. Don't worry. He's on his way home. Here's a good question that came through from the chat room. You know, you're talking about starting with a good beer and being able to enter something like that. This question is, how do you know, how do you decide if a beer is good enough to enter?
That's an interesting question, and one of the things that got me into entering competitions, because when I started out and I didn't know a whole lot, I had a beer that I thought was really good, and I took it down to you know, share with a couple of homebrewers, and they're like, yeah, yeah, it's all right, yeah, yeah. I'm like, I think this is really great. They're like, oh, it's okay, yeah, sure,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, you'll get better over time.
Yeah.
I'm like... You know, this is really good, and you know, I thought, you know, coincidentally, I was going back through like back issues of Zymergy or something. I read about these competitions, and then I found the Maltos Falcons Mayfair competition, and so I'm like, you know, I'm gonna I think this is really good. I'm gonna send it in, and you know, I'll get, you know, a you know, unbiased opinion, and I sent it in because, you know, a lot of people would tell me, oh, your beer is fantastic. It's the greatest thing I ever drank, and no matter what it was.
Yeah.
And some of them I thought were really bad, and they would say that, and some of them I thought were really good, and they say exactly the same thing. And, you know, same thing for, you know, a lot of the homebrew crowd. They'd go, oh, yeah, you know, you'll get better over time. And it didn't matter if it was crappy or good. So I sent this bottle into the Mayfair. Sure enough, placed.
Okay.
And, you know, they gave me some really good comments on improving the beer. I rebrewed it, entered it again the next year. You know, I got third place the first year. I got first place the next year. And I was hooked.
Yeah.
And so I think entering competitions is really, you know, if you can't determine yourself, the thing to do is to send in competition, get honest, you know, they have no idea whose beer it is.
Mm.
And they may not be 100% right. But, you know, they're more right than somebody who's looking you in the face and may have some personal opinions.
Sure.
You know.
It's that blind objectivity.
Yeah.
Like you guys who sign up on forums and you start spouting off at the mouth because you never have to see that person.
Right.
You'll be as honest as you ever were. Same thing with the judge. He doesn't know who you are from Adam.
Right.
So.
And they're trying to be helpful. You know, the judges are great. And, you know, if you want to, you know, start being able to do that yourself, what you need to do is, you know, brew a lot, enter competitions, I think help out at competitions, learn to judge at competitions, and you know, even stewarding at competitions can help you.
Hmm.
You know, you get to listen to the judges, you get to look at the score sheets that they write, and oftentimes you get to get a taste of whatever beer it is they're tasting, and you can kind of, you know, start to you know, key up your perceptions with the judges' perceptions. And if you can, you know, study, become a BJCP judge. I think, you know, it's not the end-all, be-all, but it really will teach you a lot if you can, you know, pass the exam and do all that and get some judging experience. You can apply that back to your beer, and, you know, it's just a huge, huge help in determining, you know, if things went right or things went wrong.
I think if you're, if we are focusing on the NHC, on the, on this big competition, and you enter that beer into competitions throughout the year, obviously, I think that's a good way to decide if you're going to, which beer you should be entering at NHC, you know, compete in other competitions, all sorts of them, like Jamil's talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously take the ones that you're doing well with, if you're focused on NHC, and that's your NHC beer right there. You know, the ones that you've been winning medals with all year.
Right.
You know, you don't want to rebrew. Send that in.
Yeah, if you go to the bjcp.org, bjcp.org site, there's a competition schedule there. That's all the AHA BJCP recognized competitions. And it's got an up-to-date chart. As soon as they get registered, it goes, you know, it gets, you know, listed on this site. And you can see month to month what competitions are coming up. There's bound to be something in your area where you don't have to ship it very far, right, or you know, even something locally where you just drive it and drop it off. You'd be surprised how many competitions there are.
All
there's
over the place.
There's, you know, hundreds in the United States every year.
Yeah. Forum's talking about us doing a BN competition again. This comes up about once a year. We reject it about once a year. Us doing it. It's a lot of work.
Competition. Would the BN competition have anything to do with brewing?
Yes. It would, which is
weird.
That's
unusual.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not odd. That's why I reject it every year. Forget it.
Yeah, it'd be like a unicorn and rainbow competition.
If we want to have a stripper competition, I'm in. You know.
Yeah. And we got the poll.
And yes, we do have the poll. But yeah, they want us to do a homebrew comp, you know, our own official homebrew comp, and you know, it ain't going to happen.
You
a
know,
lot of work.
The More Beer forums has a competition.
It's a big competition now, too.
Yeah, and you know, it's well done, and I think, you know, that, you know, go ahead and send into that,
yeah,
and you know, label it with you know, the Brewing Network as your club. You know, and it's a lot of us here, you know, help out with that,
yeah,
and so I think it'd be nice to participate in that.
Yeah, so maybe we can get involved with it or something, and that'll
maybe so
feel like a BN competition.
I was actually thinking about having that charcuterie cater. The judging.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll be a judge for that.
It's an August deadline. I think it's August 2nd.
I think
so
we need to come up
the
with
forum
a,
for more details.
A chatcuterie.
Yeah.
Chatcuterie.
He does drive a Shadillac. You know, he could drive his Shadillac down to the chatcuterie.
And he does smell like shat.
I think Crazy Bitch. I think Crazy Bitch has a chatcuterie.
Oh! Wow.
You take it in the chatcuterie or
chatcuterie?
Bitch does.
It slices, it dices.
It smells like tuna.
All right. Now let me ask you this, Jamil. When you are brewing for competition, and this is something I think that you do. Not every brewer sits down and says, I'm going to brew this beer so I can enter it in competition. John Plissé does that. There's a few other brewers who do that. Are you doing things differently on that brew day than you do when you're brewing to make beer for, say, to bring down here?
You know, the interesting thing is I don't brew for competition.
Okay.
So, you know, I thought at one point I did, but I don't really. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to brew, you know, the best beer possible to, you know, epitomize some style, some recognized style, just to prove that I can do it. Just to brew, like, you know, the perfect, you know, whatever it may be, Dortmunder Export or, you know, American Pale Ale, whatever it might be. And, you know, perfect according to me, but, you know, part of it is like, all right, now I think this is great. Let me get some objective, you know, analysis on this. Let me enter in a competition and see, you know, did it really turn out as great as I thought? And once I do that, I feel really good about that recipe, and I'll go ahead and brew it when I want just for drinking purposes. But, you know, so I tend to, everything I brew, I tend to enter into competition.
Okay.
So I'm not really brewing for competition, but, you know, everything I brew goes into competition. Unless it turns out bad, then I just dump it.
Okay. Like real bad or even just sort of bad? You'll
sort
say
of
forget
bad.
It.
Yeah, all the sort of bad, I bring them down here.
Yeah.
Real bad, the snails drink it.
I see. Gotcha. You must not have been brewing any sort of bads lately. I haven't seen any beer
from you. I haven't been brewing a whole lot.
Yeah. Okay, so you're not changing anything. What about you, Tasty? When I mean, do you do a different brew day when you when you know it's going to go into competition?
Brew day seems the same. I might pay more attention to how fresh my ingredients are. I wouldn't. If I sense like the malts have been around a bit too long, I'll dump them or something like that, or put those in a different beer. But as far as the process and all the, you know, post-fermentation handling and all that's the same. Doesn't make any difference.
I like McDold. He doesn't taste it or smell it. He just senses.
Senses.
If the malt has been around too long. He has McDold sense. My McDold sense is tingling.
How long has it been sitting in the corner?
These grains have been here for 4 days.
But that's part of the thing. It's like, I want to drink the best beer possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to drink crappy beer, so
you should have Chad brew for you then.
You know I do. It's very good.
As a matter of fact,
I you know, I got the Tasty, I got the McSleepy. You know,
yeah.
Come on. So I want the best beer possible, and really, the best drinking beer, the best. You know, if a beer is really just spectacular to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even think about, you know, oh, it's not exactly the style. No. There's a style, that a category that it fits in.
Okay.
You know, that's a whining loser's way out of explaining why their beer didn't place.
I've never said
that. Oh, it's a perfect beer. No. If it's just wonderful to drink, the judges will think so too. You know, if judges think it's wonderful to drink, they'll find an excuse to make that thing place.
Okay.
If it's just dramatically not even close to the style, if you're entering the greatest Russian Imperial Stout as a cream ale, you're not going to place. But if you're entering, you know, the greatest Russian Imperial Stout as an American Stout or a foreign extra, they'll find a reason to get that thing to place.
Okay, exceptional.
If it's, So what you want to make is the greatest drinking beer in the world, and then find the right style for it.
Okay. And then along with that, you sometimes, do you sometimes take a beer and enter it under multiple styles? Would you put an amber in with the pale ales and the amber category?
You know, if something was a tweener, I might. And in the past, I had done that really as a learning experience. It's like, all right, I brewed this thing. It's a really nice beer. But, you know, this recipe that I came up with is kind of a tweener, and it really doesn't fit into the proper categories, you know, and I would want to see what other judges said about, you know, oh, it's more like this or it's more like that. So, yeah, that's fine to do, absolutely.
Okay.
I got to the point now where that doesn't happen much.
Okay.
You know, I'll brew a beer that is targeted more and turns out the way I want.
Right. Because in the couple of years that I've been around you and John and you guys talking about competitions, I always find it interesting when someone says, yeah, you know, I entered it under this category. It did terribly. I entered it in the same competition. I entered it as an amber, and it did fantastic. I won the silver.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other category, they said it was an awful beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot to do with it has to fit to the style in some way.
So. Well, it depends on the judges. Sometimes you'll enter a beer, and the judge will say, yeah, this is a really nice beer. You know, and if it's a really nice beer, they should say, you know, this is well brewed. Mike and I were talking earlier. He had a beer that I didn't think was exactly along the lines of the style that we were talking about. But it's a well brewed beer. Mike doesn't brew bad beer.
Yeah.
He may brew something that's not exactly along the lines of what he was initially targeting, but you know, it's still a great beer. So you know, it's important that judges, you know, kind of repeat that information. It's like, you know, this is a really nice beer. I drink several pints of it. Unfortunately, you know, it doesn't really line up with the style category or, you know, for this style of beer, you know, it's really hoppy or it's, you know, one thing or the other.
Okay. All right.
Are there people out there blending beers? Do you blend beers? And I'm not talking about like a goose, but have you heard of that? People doing that? Homebrewers doing that?
You know, people do that. I have never gotten into it just because my whole focus is brewing, you know, the perfect beer. And if it's not, then I tend to just dump them. Somebody once asked me that, and I'm like, I don't, I've never gotten into it. And, you know, Dave Sapsis, really good brewer, great beer judge, great palate. He's been kind of like my mentor in a lot of ways. And he's like, oh, you know, it's, you know, really cool blending beers. And I'll go over to his place, and he'll be like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And he's like, now, you know, taste the difference, how different a beer that is. Somebody on the Maltos Falcon site was talking about blending Sierra Nevada Pale Ale 70% with 30% Bigfoot.
Hmm.
And how it's a completely different beer. It's kind of like a double IPA or something.
Interesting.
And, you know, I can see the value to that, but it's something I've never really gotten into. And, I don't see anything wrong with it if that's, you know, the way you get about it. But I've always had a feeling that that is not going to make the best beer possible. But I might be wrong with that because I don't do it. Mm. And I don't have a whole lot of experience in it other than drinking other people's attempts at blending.
And I'm sure the people that are blending aren't really talking about it. It's just, sneak it in under
sneaky bags. Right, but if you brew
There's nothing
two,
wrong with
if
it.
You brew, no, no. If you yeah. brew two beers, yeah. mm-hmm. right, and you brewed both of them, and you blend them, then Switch so the, what?
Yeah.
You brewed both of them, right?
Sure, you know? Sure.
So who cares how you get to that point?
Right. Okay.
If you get to that point as an extract brewer, does that make you less of a brewer than if you get to that point as an all-grain brewer?
No. Yeah, it's...
I don't think so.
No, not at all.
Okay, but somebody else prepared your extract for you, so, that might be even worse. I don't know. For me, it doesn't matter. It's the final beer that's important. As long as you're not using any commercial beer or, I think blending beers is fine. I just don't think it's the ideal way to get to the best beer possible. I think you have to in something like certain lambic categories. You know, that's something you really need to dial in. But in something like, American Pale Ale, just brew American Pale Ale.
Hmm. If you have to blend it, you did something wrong.
Yeah, you screwed up.
Yeah. Not that you shouldn't fix it by blending it. That's fine. But
right, and blend it and drink it or whatever.
Sure, I see what you're saying.
And if you think that blended version is like the greatest version of an American Pale Ale in the world, great, go ahead and enter it. But I doubt that's true.
Mm. I was at the bistro the other day and saw a guy, a good beer bar. We had our anniversary party there last year, if you don't know of it. But saw a guy order a Lagunitas IPA, which is a fine IPA. And he wanted a splash of Bear Republic's Racer 5 IPA on the top of it. And I guess he just, maybe he thought the aroma was stronger out of the Racer 5. I'm not sure, but thought it was an interesting way to blend.
Just a splash?
Give me a, he was like he was ordering a spritzer. He said, give me a Lagunitas with a splash of Racer 5.
How about a Fresca?
It's
kind of weird.
Yeah.
Interesting, though. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More homebrew talk and competition talk with Jamil Zanishev and Tasty McDole when we come back. If you have questions, 888-401-BEER or join JP in the chat room and you can get your questions to us that way. Competition's coming up, folks, so if you want to figure out how to do it and do it right, Jay-Z's the man. He's the most award-winning homebrewer ever.
Did you say JP?
No, not JP.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Oh, crap! It's the hop shortage!
No, not the organic, free-range, Oyster Russian Imperial Coffee Stout!
It's all gone. We'll never brew again.
Damn this hop shortage! Damn it to hell!
Oi! Away off your wee f***ing hop shortage,
Who are you?
A f***ing Scottish 80 shilling, and you cannot brew a Scottish 80 shilling like you was mixing f***ing cement with f***ing hops instead of gravel, your great f***ing ass.
Use less hops, brew more beer. Northern Brewer has kits and ingredients for dozens of worldwide beer styles that don't require a lot of hops to make a great pint, like the bloodthirsty and abusive Scottish 80 shilling. Keep drinking great beer. Order at northernbrewer.com and get flat rate $7.99 shipping anywhere in the contiguous U.S. One beer kit, $7.99 shipping. 1 million beer kits, $7.99 shipping.
Together we can beat this hop shortage.
My lambic!
It'll only f***ing help it.
Well, I had some terrified dino,
Valley Brewing Company is Stockton's premier microbrewery and family restaurant in the heart of Stockton, California, just off the Miracle Mile. Brewmaster Steve Altamari crafts a full array of award-winning ales and specialty beers, from their classic English mild London Tavern Ale to their Abbey Quadruple Decadence 12, and everything in between. And the best part is, Valley Brewing will soon be distributing their handcrafted beers, so you don't have to visit California to try them. Check your local retailer in the coming months for fresh arrivals from California's Central Valley and get a taste of one of California's oldest brewing traditions. To find out more about Valley Brewing's historic past, their selection of beers, or family-friendly restaurant, visit them online at valleybrew.com or come on by and sample the beer at 157 West Adams Street in Stockton, California. Valley Brewing Company. With honesty and integrity, they offer great beer and a fun family atmosphere that you're gonna love.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking around with us. We are talking to Jamil Zainashef, Mr. Ninkasi himself. Two times Ninkasi, Jay-Z?
Yes.
Unbelievable. So how many other people have won the Ninkasi twice?
Kurt Hassam and Joe Formanek.
Just two others
in
the history of the Ninkasi.
And the most anybody has won is two times.
Oh, really? So if you...
So there's three of us tied for two times.
Ooh. Are you all kind of... Do you talk amongst each other about what's happening this year and if you're all going for it?
They don't need to. They are.
it's a psychic bond that we have.
An unspoken competition.
Like how McDowell can sense his grain's freshness.
It's very similar.
Yeah, my pecker gets hard when Joe's brewing, I can tell.
Huh. I sense a disturbance in my pants.
Let's see. I'm not watching porn. Joe must be brewing.
My lightsaber is twitching. Like the sound of 4 ounces of hops going into a boil.
Who will be the third Ninkasi winner? It could be somebody. It could be you at home. It could be you, listener.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't be one of these guys. You know? Nobody's ever done it consecutively, though, have they? Did anybody get the two in a row?
Curtis Song.
Oh, really? Ooh, he one-upped you, Jay-Z.
Bastard.
Yeah.
This year it's going to be Kristen England.
That's who you think is going to win Ninkasi? That's your prediction?
Yeah, dirty bastard.
Really?
A girl?
No, he's a guy.
Oh, okay.
Excellent brewer.
Guy named Kristen?
Yes.
Just checking.
Kristen's like Leslie.
That's a chick's name, too.
Yeah, chick's name. No, Kristen's like Leslie. You know, a chick's name.
Kristen's like Thanks, Barbara.
I'm sure he'll, like, punch you in the balls.
I know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Beverly.
I probably deserve
Beverly's
it.
Beverly's a guy's name or a woman's name.
What?
Yeah.
You know a dude named Beverly?
Don't ever have a son.
Who names their dude kid Beverly?
Guys who want to instill toughness in their child, apparently.
Yeah.
I want my kid to grow up to be a hateful bastard. I'm going to give him a name of Sandra. Sandra Elizabeth.
No, there's plenty.
All right. All right, so Kristen's going to win this year, huh?
That's yeah, he's going to punch JP in the balls.
Probably both of us at once.
Yeah, probably like, you know. Just
while winning
the
Ninkasi.
Give you a chop to the... Yeah, thorax and you know, drop you.
On his way back from accepting the award, he's going to walk by you.
Yeah, hit him over the head with that B3 fermenter.
Yeah. He's going to walk toward us, call his shot.
Nice fermenter, bitch. Yeah. Bang.
And then sterilize us with a judo chop.
Yeah. All right, 888-401-BEER. That's our number if you have questions, or you can sign in to the chat room. Just hit the chat now button, punch in a name, press enter. You don't have to register or anything like that. And JP's in there taking your questions. I've got a couple good ones in front of me for you guys.
That's not all I'm taking.
Someone asked, is it okay to enter kit beers into competition?
Yeah.
And yeah, it doesn't have to be your own recipe. In fact, do you realize how many of Jameel's recipes are going to be entered into NHC this year now that that book is out?
Yeah. It should be a recipe from Brewing Classic Style. She can buy in the store.
It's the only ones you're allowed to enter.
When we put a checkbox on the entry,
is this brewed from BCS style? Well, yeah. And a lot of people have been brewing recipes from that and entering them in competitions. I get tons of email from people going, you know, I never placed in competition. Mm. I brewed, you know, some recipes from your book. I entered them in competition. I got like first, you know, two firsts and a third.
Yeah.
They should all list you as their second brewer.
And they should all have to thank you when they receive their medal. I want to thank Jameel.
Send me a dollar. You know, that'd be great.
You know what we should do is make a t-shirt that says, Jameel helped me win this. For everyone who's entered who uses his kit, they have to buy a
Jameel
shirt from
Jameel likes my breast.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So they can go up and we can know.
Well, Jameel, we've said in the past, all things being the same, once you've mastered your brewing process, once you've become a great brewer,
sure.
then the recipe matters.
Right.
So you probably have these guys out here who have been brewing, you know, they've got their process down.
I think so, yeah.
And now they've got these recipes from you that have already won awards before, so you might have changed the landscape of the competition this year by offering people who are already good brewers.
I've clearly screwed myself.
Yeah. You're the backhoe of the brewing community.
Now, if somebody beats you...
Just call me a hoe.
If someone beats you to the Ninkasi 3, I'd want to know what recipes they used, because that could be a feather in your cap if you do get beaten to it.
If your process isn't good, you can take that book of recipes, you can go through the whole thing, enter every last single one, and you're not going to place.
Mm.
If you're brewing well and you kind of got your process down and you're to that point where recipe, because, you know, and I think Mike agrees with me.
Mike never agrees with you.
Yeah. Recipe really doesn't matter, is generally what we say, or it's 5% of it.
Yeah.
It's a critical 5%, but until you've mastered the other 95% of brewing, recipe isn't going to do you diddly.
No, it's a really small part of it. I mean, you got to be close, of course.
Right. It's a critical part once you've mastered all that other stuff.
Well, sure.
So go out and buy a copy of the book. Buy two. One for the toilet, one for the brewery.
And buy them both from thebrewingnetwork.com, please. Okay, but that's a good question. And there are tons of good kits out there.
Yeah.
B3 has a lot of them. Northern Brewer has a lot of good kits.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, if it's a good beer, enter it, right?
Yeah, you're the brewer.
Yeah.
You know, whether they put the kit together for you or... you get a recipe somewhere and put the kit together yourself, essentially, I don't see an issue with that.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right, here's a good question. Go ahead, JP.
People in the chat want to know, if they brew a recipe of yours and it sucks, do they get their money back?
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay, great.
And then I'm
That's a verbal contract, folks.
Guaranteeing, what was the one that wanted the six-pack for everybody that voted for me? Yes.
If
you voted for me in the AHA Governing Committee elections or the upcoming BJCP Western Representative election.
You said CP.
Yes. I'm sending each of those people a six-pack. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
AHA elections over?
No, I don't think so. Lying is a big part of my platform, yes, clearly.
That doesn't sound good. My dog never freaks out, and she's totally freaking out.
Chad, you want to move a little faster than that next time?
I hope there's not like...
Where's the dog?
Wow. Yeah. Chad, you want to close up that door and, I don't know, put her to sleep or something? Something's going on out there. Maybe there's black people around. She doesn't like black people.
I hope not.
Takes after JP.
Yeah. All right. Here is a good question. Something that we've talked about in the past, and we're going to have to set it up a little bit about how... beers are judged, because the question is, should we slightly over-carbonate our beers when we're sending them into competitions? And this stems from the idea that your beer might be sitting on a table for a period of time and go a little bit flat. It's going to be shaken and stirred. What do you think about that process?
All right. So I used to think, all right, well, if I'm carbonating something, I would carbonate it
you know, there's kind of a range for carbonation, and maybe I would go slightly towards the heavy end of carbonation. Not excessively so, but maybe just a tiny bit more. And I you know, that's fine, and I don't think there's any harm to do that, because I think when, at least when I'm judging, I'll give you a range of what's okay. You know, I'll kind of take into account the beer's been sitting for a while. You know, most judges will do that. They go, well, it's been sitting for a while, so it's warmer, or the carbonation's gone. But when I first poured it, you know, and the way that the beers are judged, they don't pour them all, and then they start at one end, and they taste this, and then 10 beers later, they're tasting yours. They pour it, taste it, pour it, taste it, pour it, taste it. So it's within a few moments of being poured.
Okay.
So you don't really need to, yeah, when you go back to them, maybe the carbonation has gotten lower and it's gotten warmer, but judges are pretty smart about saying, well, it's been sitting a while, that's why it has no carbonation. I remember it with carbonation.
Okay.
If higher carbonation displays your beer better, then it's probably a bigger issue. Say, for instance, the bitterness associated with the carbonation makes your beer more in balance, then I would tend to like, up the carbonation to maybe 5-10% higher.
Okay. But that should be how you do it when you drink it anyway, not just for competition.
Yeah, right. If you're just better drinking, sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Dial it into where it tastes ideal, and then, you know, just enter it like that.
Okay. And now, Tasty, you've stewarded several competitions, and I'm sure you have also, Jamil. So maybe tell us a little bit about how these beers are handled, because I think maybe people are concerned that when their beer gets there, it will have been mishandled. What happens when these arrive and you have to steward a competition? Tasty, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, let me go ahead.
Yeah.
Well,
Tasty now, please.
I defer.
Speak, boy, speak.
Well, all my I've done a fair amount of cellar mastering, and beers are treated with good care. I mean, they're obviously in shipment; they're not going to be refrigerated. But as soon as they arrive, they're put into refrigeration and they're treated really well. Competitions that I've worked, we've always tried to get the beers to the judging site at least 2-3 days ahead of time.
Oh, so they can sit to
settle a little bit, so that, you know, they're tasted in their best condition possible.
Okay.
Yeah, the bigger, better known competitions tend to do that. You will run across competitions where, you know, they leave them sitting on somebody's, you know, porch for a week, or in the back of the pickup and driving around with them.
Like not the more beer competition, though, I'll tell you that much.
But like when we have the BN competition, that's exactly what will happen.
They'll be like in Justin's pants carrying it around.
We built a crate on the roof.
Yeah.
Specifically
on our hot tin roof.
Yeah, to focus the sun's rays.
Yeah, but I've actually never stewarded.
Oh, is that right? Look at you.
Weird.
Too good for stewarding,
yes,
Jamil.
I am. You know, generally, you know, there's a lot of care that goes into this and a lot of precision, because people realize that it's important to the brewers who entered. A lot of the judges who judge, they've entered competitions too, so they have some sort of sense of, hey, you know, this person doesn't want to get yanked around, they don't want their beer mistreated, they want to get the best possible shake they can, they want everything to be fair. I think most people who enter, they just want things to be fair.
Yeah.
If they know everybody was treated the same and it was fair, that's all that matters. And they lost, they can handle that. If they somehow got abused and it wasn't fair, that's a real problem.
Okay.
So most competitions are very cognizant of that fact.
All right. So they'll be taking care of your beer. Don't get your feelings hurt. Here's a good question about making a beer distinct. So someone says, should you do something like up the maltiness or do a late hop for a beer style, something to make it stand out, something to make it more distinct? I mean, is that kind of a method of doing well in competitions?
Jamil's looking at it.
That's both of you.
Well, here's what my philosophy is, and I think it's probably Jamil's too. If your beer tends to be at the higher end of the range in terms of its hoppiness and its maltiness for the style, generally, if you're judged, especially later in the flight, you might have a better chance. And something we didn't talk about is that the order in which your beer falls within the judging, sequential judging, makes a big difference.
Especially, Which is luck of the draw.
Yeah, but if you're too bold and you're earlier in the flight, then you're kind of screwed.
Right.
Okay.
Because then it's too much. I think probably the most important thing is balance and drinkability. You know, because every beer judge is a beer drinker. And the thing that everybody likes is a beer that when you take a sip, you go, oh, yeah, that's great. I want another. I want a pint. I don't want a pint. I want a growler. I want a keg. Do they sell this in kegs? Can I buy a keg? Can I take this home? That's the kind of impression you want. And a lot of judges, when they're judging, they ask to be on certain panels, you know, it's, you know, or they specify what panels they don't like to judge. Mm-hmm. So they tend to be on panels of beers that they like. And if it's good beer and it's really drinkable, you know, you're going to do well. If it's not real drinkable, if you start trying to make something overly malty or overly hoppy, you know, it's gonna come back and bite you. So you really want something that's, you know, well balanced, really drinkable, something you would order multiple pints of, and, you know, if you can be bold at the same time, where if a beer is supposed to be hoppy, it should be hoppy, not a little bit hoppy. You know, it should be hoppy. If a beer should be malty, it shouldn't be an effort to search for the maltiness. It should be present.
Okay.
Right. It shouldn't be overboard to where it's overwhelming, but it should be easily identifiable.
Mm. You know, that's a really good description of it, too. I mean, when you're reading these styles and it says malty, you're right. You shouldn't have to search for it. You shouldn't have to sit there and think about whether or not it's malty, right?
Right.
That's an excellent point for maybe evaluating your beer, your own beer, if you're going to enter it in competition.
Yeah, if you have to search for something that should be present, you're going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be overwhelming either.
Okay. Here is a good question, and we can use this to segue into packaging beer for competition. If you've listened to the show long enough, you know that Tasty is insane and just pours his beer right out of the tap into the bottle. And does very well like that.
I do that too.
And you'll know I like it in the can.
Yes. Yeah. If there's two things you should know about this show, it's that Tasty is insane and Jamil likes it in the can.
With the reach around.
Whoa!
Oh, where'd that come from?
Oh my God. I thought you told everybody about that.
Is that Jamil reacting to the reach around?
Oh my God!
Oh, where'd that
Your
come
hands
from?
Are cold.
Where'd that come from? From behind you. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Well, here is the specific question from the chat room, and then we'll kind of segue into the whole packaging thing. But this person says, if you counter pressure fill into your bottle, should you hold off until closer to the entry date, or should you bottle early and let it sit in that bottle for a while? You know, wine goes through something called bottle shock, right?
Yeah.
And Vinny talks about it, too, with his sour beers. Yeah. But does regular beer have bottle shock?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I do is I bottle, you know, the day before they're due is typically when I'm bottling the beer. You know.
Just the day before. Okay.
Right. But, I mean, I've done it weeks ahead of time. Like, for instance, the national competition where I have to enter, you know, whatever, 15 or whatever, freshly brewed beers. I mean, I bottle them as I make them, but, you know.
Okay.
I think it does. I think there's a bottle shock for beers, too.
Really?
You do, huh?
If I'll taste a beer out of the keg. 5 minutes later, I'll bottle one. I'll pour it into a glass, same type of glass. Tastes completely different.
Huh.
And I'm like, how does putting a beer into a bottle somehow make it taste different? I don't know.
Hmm.
There's something going on that affects the beer. And I think it only takes a few days for it to stabilize again.
Okay.
I think within a week, it's definitely back to normal. And it really doesn't make a difference. And then it's, you know, if your temperature and your sanitation and, you know, the environment where they're stored is nice and stable, it'll stay stable for a long time. Hmm. But there's something right after it's bottled, and it goes away fairly quickly, but there's something slightly different about it. It's unusual. And I, you know, being the scientific kind of guy, I would think, No, that's a load of crap. If somebody told me that, I wouldn't believe it.
That sounds like a load of crap to me.
Yeah. Stacy disagrees with you as you
You and I are thinking like, I don't believe it either.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't. You know, you taste them side by side. Wow, it's like a different beer.
Well, it has to be a physical process. If it's, it's all happening.
Yeah, it's not, I think it's, you know, the surfaces inside the bottle, they're not entirely smooth. You know, so I think it tends to kick up some larger CO2 bubbles when it goes from the bottle back into the glass.
Okay, so it's bounced twice in a short period of time.
I think it affects the carbonation, maybe. And maybe it's just a carbonation thing. And eventually it settles back down, it's the process of going into the bottle. I don't know. There's something a little odd going on there.
It'd be interesting
to talk. It's not huge, and I really wouldn't worry about it. Okay. I could go McDowell's route and say, bottle it, send it in.
Most
by the time they pour it, it's going to be a couple of days.
A week, right?
Most competitions, the entry deadline's at least a week before the judging.
Yeah, and if it's just a few days, that's still fine. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it at all. But I think there is some slight difference. But I wouldn't. I think it doesn't matter.
Okay, I'd be interested to talk to a winemaker about bottle shock and what's happening to wine when it goes through bottle shock, and then see if that would apply.
I don't think it'd be interesting to talk to a winemaker.
It's the same. It's the same thing. That's where I first heard about it. It's on the wine side, bottle shock. Wines go through the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So will you bottle your beer the week before you send it, or you just assume that it's gonna, you know, take a week before they're tasting it anyway? So you'll just bottle the day before.
When my beer is ready, I bottle up. So if I'm done drinking from that keg, which is generally crap, I'm going to run out if I don't bottle this. I go ahead and bottle it up, and then I throw it in the shed, and then it sits there, you know.
That's the air-conditioned
months
shed, by
or
the way.
6 years or however long it sits.
Whatever. Okay. All right. JP, do you have any special bottling preferences when you enter? You made it to the second round last year.
I did make it to the second round last year. Everybody, can I get a round of applause?
Yeah. All right.
But no first round.
No.
I mean, wait.
No final round.
Right. Thank you. I just did the McDowell thing because I'm lazy, really.
So that is not using a counter pressure.
Yeah, that's just taking some tubing, sticking it in your Cobra faucet.
Uh-huh.
And,
is Cobra faucet a code word or something?
Yeah, it's code for picnic faucet.
Stick it in your Cobra faucet.
Yeah. And then I sanitized my bottles and... kind of flush them out, and then and then just fill it and cap it, and nothing really special. And I was actually really surprised.
Okay,
but if it works for McDowell, it's going to work for me. I am not good at counter pressure filling.
I don't know.
Okay.
The only time that I need to bottle is when I have our internationals. That's it. So I don't have enough practice with it. I don't care about it. It doesn't interest me to learn more about it.
All right, you're not going to cry, are you?
I might.
Okay.
If you press me a little bit harder, yeah.
A little more. All right.
A little more pressure with the right thumb.
Yeah.
All right. And then people also want to know about, you know, shipping to these competitions. Is this an art form, or are you just wrapping a bunch of bubble wrap in there?
Freaking common sense. you balloon heads that are...
You like, guys open a few packages.
I want to wrap it with rocks, please. I hear rocks absorb things very well.
Exactly. The people who are like, you know... Yeah, all right. So you get bubble wrap. The one with the little bubbles on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Small bubbles, like they're like a quarter inch or so, three eighths of an inch. It comes in sheets, right?
Buy a big box.
Buy a box, it go down to Staples or Office Max or whatever. You buy a box, you know, pony up the $12 or whatever it is.
And it's perforated every foot.
Yeah, every foot. You pull off two sheets.
Right.
You wrap it around the bottle. You take a little piece of tape.
Rubber band.
Packing tape or rubber band and hold it shut with that.
Does it have to be a brand name tape?
No.
It could be like Target.
Yeah.
Okay.
But packing tape.
Target.
And you don't frickin' mummify the thing in tape. Mr. Police, if you're listening, no mummifying in tape.
Don't worry, he's not.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you put these in the box, and you put a layer of bubble wrap on the bottom. You put the bottles in standing up. You put a layer of bubble wrap on the top. You attach your paperwork to one of the bottles, your check to one of the bottles. You don't, like, throw it loose in the box. And then if you've got extra space in that box, you use a nice stout cardboard box.
What if about a porter box?
Yes. If you've got extra space, you can use wadded up newspaper or more bubble wrap to get a nice tight pack on the box.
Do you have a preference of shift. Newspaper?
I like tightly packed.
Yes,
no,
Sacramento Bee. Okay. But no peanuts, no like leftover garbage
no
off
peanuts,
your floor,
you.
No floor
really?
Sweepings, not your daughter's, you know, binky, none of that crap that people that we find
not your
every
old
year.
Dish towels. No,
right. You know, and pack it tight. So once this thing's packed and you squeeze the box shut and tape the daylights out of the box so the box stays shut, you should be able to shake that box and hear no shifting.
Okay.
If the bottles shift, they're going to break. If they don't shift, they're fine.
All right.
And once the bottles don't move and you've got them double wrapped in this bubble wrap,
they're ready?
Yeah, I've never had a bottle break.
Okay. Can you go over that again?
Yes. Hit rewind.
There's a question coming from the chat about your preference. Do you tape
in the can?
Yeah. Do you tape warm or do you tape cold?
Good question.
Yeah.
Take my clothes off.
Get a reach around.
Rub the bottles to warm them up.
Uh-huh.
Keep going. I'm almost thrown up.
Yeah. Stroke my nipples.
Oh, man. Well, it must work because you've done well.
All you guys better be doing this. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
I want to see the kitchen bottling across the country going on after that segment.
I bet he was serious. I don't know, Dan. I really think he was serious. Let's go. I swear,
honey, Jameel said this is how you're supposed to bottle
a package. Let's take a try at it.
It's not gay unless someone breaks a bottle.
Send me pictures of your naked wife.
Whoa!
Oh.
Then go ahead and bottle.
Brewer's Code.
Hey.
He didn't say anybody's specific wife.
Right. That's true.
So it's still within
there
the code.
There we go.
All right, here's a good question about serving, a stewarding question, Tasty. If somebody sends in a hef...
He doesn't steward.
Oh.
Will they...
Yeah.
He and I get drunk and wander around the cellar.
Act like we're running it.
I'm doing things and stuff.
Yes. Next year,
it's pretty much him.
We're
going to
get some in and do all the
and
physical
talking.
Work.
Yeah, we end up doing physical.
I got a guy for that this year.
Okay, yeah.
Good.
We just need to sit around and drink and laugh.
Exactly. More laughing and drinking this year.
Going to bring McShat with you to do all the hefty work.
Possibly. Yeah.
This person wants to know if they send in a hef, will the yeast be mixed before serving?
Well, that's a judging issue.
Yeah, you know, it depends on the individual judges. And
should it be, in your opinion?
You know, I don't like a super yeasty beer. And so I'll credit people with, you know, the yeast. I'll drink it without and it'll be fine. But I've only every once in a while seen people roll the bottle and get the yeast up, and it never affects anything. I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. I do have more of your questions in front of me. 888-401-BEER. That's our number, and you can use it if you want to call and ask us questions directly. JP's also in the chat room, and he's taking your questions down, passing them along to me. I've got a couple of those in front of me for you guys. One thing they have already asked me, Tasty, you can prep for. They want to know a little bit about how you do your fruit beer. So we might have to answer that question when we come back. So we'll be doing that. Cover a little bit more of this competition stuff and make sure that you guys are prepped to do this thing. This is the big one. All right. The National Homebrewers Conference is in Cincinnati in April. We will all be there, I do believe. Chat, you going?
Oh, yeah.
You're going, right?
I'll be there.
All right. So get your questions ready. Last segment with Jameel on this topic when we come back. So ask now or forever hold your peas. Be right back. Hang in there.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hi, I'm Sean O'Sullivan, the brewmaster and co-founder of the 21st Amendment Brewery and Restaurant in San Francisco. 6 years ago, Nico Freccia and I opened the 21st Amendment on 2nd Street with the intent of bringing back the local neighborhood brew pub. Well, the neighborhood has really changed over the years, but the 21st Amendment still remains a great place for people to meet over a terrific meal and a tasty pint of beer. In the past, the only way you could enjoy the 21st Amendment's handcrafted beers was at the brew pub. Well, all that has changed. Now, the 21st Amendment beers are available in cans. That's right, cans. When was the last time you had a great beer in a can? Well, that day has come. We're offering our world-famous Watermelon Wheat and 21A IPA in cans. Cans are a better package than glass because cans keep the beer fresher longer, but you can also take cans to places where bottles can't go, like the beach, lake, golf courses, and sporting events. So join us in the revolution to take back the can from the big breweries and crack open a cold 21A craft beer in a can. The 21st Amendment, 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park.
Speed is a drag, it's a big, big drag. Set your mind on fire, make your organs sag. Coke is a joke, rather take a toke than be broken and a choking with your brain cells smoking. Tripping on acid makes you flaccid. DMT too rich for me. Heroin, aquarium, a nice pine box to bury in. Marijuana makes me wanna eat candy and eat Madonna with her hair bleached by peroxide, huffing on some nitrous oxide. Well, I've tried them all and it might sound queer, but my favorite drug is a nice cold beer. Bear, 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 we love beer. Get thrills from pills, but mostly chills from real bib tussin' and a bottle of NyQuil. XTC's okay with me on airplane glue. You sneeze, I chew. Mohawk girl with a needle in her neck. Nervous wreck, gonna call collect. Nicotine is so obscene, and caffeine only makes me mean. Up spray paint ain't so quaint. It gives you headaches and makes you faint. Hash is a gas like a blast from the past, but trying to hunt it down is a pain in the ass. Well, I tried them all and it might sound weird, but my favorite drug is a nice cold beer. Bear, 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 we love bear. Set your mind on fire, make your organs sag. Coke is a joke, rather take a toke than be broken in a choking with your brain cells smoking. Tripping on acid makes you flaccid. DMT too rich for me. Heroin, aquarium, a nice pine box to bury in. Marijuana makes me wanna eat candy and screw Madonna with her hair bleached by peroxide, huffing on some nitrous oxide. Well, I've tried them all and it might sound queer, but my favorite drug is a nice cold beer. Beer, 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 beer.
Attention homebrew shop owners at Fermentap. They know you're tired of buying the same old gear that everyone else has. That's why Fermentap offers the newest and most cutting-edge brewing equipment known to man. Since 1998, Fermentap has been leading the fight against the boring and mundane by offering strange, unique, and just plain smart equipment. Like their stainless-domed false bottoms. Never deal with the floating plastic hassle of other false bottoms again. And since they're made from stainless steel, they'll last a lifetime. Fermentap's line of copper
Miller wort chillers are the best on the market, designed to cool your wort faster and more efficiently than other immersion chillers. They actually invented the equipment to make these chillers not only work great, but look great too. How about a fantastic line of ingredients, including vanilla beans, sorghum extract, blue agave extract, hop bitterness extract, unique wine yeasts, green coffee beans, sake kits, all stuff you can't find anywhere else. Fermentap carries all the standard products and equipment you need as well, such as all-grain systems, stainless hardware, kettles, carbonation stones, you name it, they've got it. Fermentap's entire line of products has been helping retail shops meet the demands of their customers for nearly 10 years, and they want to help you too. For more information, see them on the web at fermentap.com or call Jason at 1-800-942-2750. Fermentap, better beer through innovation.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah. I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
You're listening to The Session.
Welcome back to the show. Going to wrap things up with Jameel here and this topic that we got going on, the National Homebrewers Competition and the conference. Don't forget about that. It's a great conference in Cincinnati this year. And we're talking about how to prep for that. Been doing it all show long, so if you're just tuning in, that's what's happening here. 888-401-BEER, that's our number if you got any questions. And we do have a caller right now. Kyle wants to talk to Tasty, actually. Kyle, what's happening?
Not much, man. What's going on?
You know, just doing a little show thing here. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee. What do you got for us?
I just wanted to say, since it is a competition show, that I entered my first competition a while back, and it was held yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I took home a gold with Tasty's a brown ale recipe.
All right.
Nice.
Great.
Good
job. Right.
Janet's brown ale.
Excellent.
Wow.
Which you can find in Brewing Classic Style by Jamel Sanchez.
I think it's probably work off on it.
Is that where the brown ale recipe is?
Or on morebeer.com. It's a kit.
No. You can find it in Brewing Classic Style.
You should really get it as a kit from morebeer.com, though.
Kyle, did you get the recipe out of Brewing Classic Styles?
No, I got it off of the podcast.
Okay.
Oh. Uh-huh. So you didn't pay for it. Right. You didn't pay anybody for
off,
it.
Off the Jamel show, right?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's
now you've
that
made
works.
Him happy.
All right.
Yeah. Kyle, you can't call it and stroke Tasty without stroking Jameel.
Kyle, yeah, I guess you haven't got the judges' comments back yet, huh?
Did you get the judges' comments back yet?
No. We actually, it was just held yesterday.
Oh, cool.
One of the guys from our club was actually down there, so he just gave me a call last night. So I don't really know anything other than
congratulations.
Congratulations, brother.
Yeah.
Good job.
You said that's your first competition?
Yep.
Nice. Good
well, what do you think about
that? I actually won an Imperial IPA, too. So.
Nice.
Good. So are you going to send both of those into the NHC now?
I'm hoping so. Is there,
you ran out already, didn't you?
I guess since I just sent the brown ale in, it's still fine. The Imperial IPA is already might be, you know, losing it for the hops and stuff like that. So I don't know if I'm going to keep that around for June or I guess whatever, March, April.
Fuck it, drink it. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Kyle, I plan on being in Nashville in end of September. So you better have some beers for me.
Yeah. It's in his rider.
Chad already knows the pain of me expecting beers all the time.
Right. You better have those beers, brother.
I fear the wrath. What are you doing in Nashville, Jamil?
I'm a grad student.
You're a grad student. What are you doing in Nashville, Jamil?
Visiting.
Just visiting?
Yeah, there's a club out there, and they're going to have an event, and hopefully I can make it out for that.
Which club?
Do you know which club it is? He doesn't remember.
I've been drinking.
He has no idea.
He's got the right state, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Nashville, and then I hope there's a Titans game going on that weekend. If there is, I'm there.
There you go.
Cool.
All right, Kyle, congratulations, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, man. Later. Thanks a lot.
Cool, brother.
See you.
Very nice. Like to see that. Like to hear that. So it's Tasty's recipe that's in your book.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, in the book, there's you know, most of the style categories, I had something that I, and even, it, so for every category, every style, there's a recipe of mine that has won awards, and I feel is my best recipe for that style. There's some styles where I feel, where somebody has continuously beat me in competition on that style, and where I feel, you know, I still include my recipe, I still believe in my recipe, but there are times when it comes to, like, Mike Riddle's Russian Imperial Stout, you know, that's a best of show winner all over the place. So that recipe's in there along with Mike Riddle's advice. There's, you know, Janet's Brown Ale, Mike McDowell's recipe. That's in there. You know, that's, again, you know, an excellent beer. So, you know, I bow to the master on these things. You know, I got no...
I'm just reiterating a point. God, guys.
I think you heard the word master.
If you don't buy, how you going to get in the can? You know, really.
You know, so, you know, when somebody's got better advice than I do, you know, I'm there. I think, you know, it was important to include that stuff. Yeah. So, you know, that's what you're seeing in the book. It's, you know, it's got some good stuff in there from other people.
It's also at morebeer.com.
And it's on thebrewingnetwork.com. JP.
Just buy a copy of the book.
On the Brewing Network.
You got to have a copy. I swear, the last five beers I made are out of that book, Jamil.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Same with Shat here.
They're all Jamil's recipes.
Yeah, well, Shat, no, never mind.
And the last three that I made were your recipes. Didn't help me a bit. Thanks a lot. So, thanks for nothing.
Giving out copies of the book seemed to help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone's brewing your beers.
It's like, hey, you gave me a free copy. I guess I better brew one of the recipes from the book, you know. Maybe I can use the rest of the pages as toilet paper, but, well, tell them I brewed something.
When are you going to write one that actually helps? You know, like, anybody can brew, even you, Justin.
Well, that
could be the title.
that's what the folks at More Beer want me to write, is brewing better beer.
Oh, really?
You know, how to go from brewing so-so beer to brewing award-winning beer.
Oh, yeah.
It's how good. About how to score with chicks at beer festivals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's I'd easy. Have to go with Shad on that one.
It's called a roofie and a baseball bat.
Yeah, JP could definitely write
JP's
that
JP's got his methods, I think. Yeah. Other people have less bloody methods.
Leaves a blood trail, but, you know.
Double IPA.
Bleach. Just pour bleach on and it gets rid of the blood right away.
I'm creeped out. This is a weird question.
Yeah, I know. You know, I think it. At first, I read it. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
And then I think it's actually valid. It kind of goes along with what he was saying about he includes people who beat him in competitions in his book.
Does Jamil like getting beat in a competition? Who likes getting beat?
You know, I like the challenge. So people like, you know, Joe Formanek, Taysom McDowell, you know, John Fleece, Kristen Englund, Curtis Song. I'm leaving out a bunch of people. Romanek. You know, there's a bunch of dudes that, you know, they're brewing some frickin' awesome beer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go up against them, winning is great. Hmm. But if they didn't beat you every so often, or, you know, on a regular basis,
yeah,
you know, it makes winning really hollow. If you go and you enter a competition, you just clean up. It's just like, well, whatever.
You need
but
some rivalry.
If somebody, you know, gives you a smackdown every so often,
yeah,
it's like, okay, I'm coming back. I really need to focus. I need to brew better beer. It makes it that sweeter when you do win. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of like it in a way because it's you know, it's this. Have you ever done any boxing? Right?
Yeah.
When you're boxing, if you just beat the crap out of somebody,
boxing.
Yeah.
It's not very satisfying. It's satisfying in a way, but after time, it's not so satisfying. It's satisfying when you feel the sting of the other guy's glove.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. You know, this is a real challenge.
That guy seemed pretty satisfied when he's beating the shit out of me.
Yeah, this is a real match. This really means something. If I don't, you know, struggle against, you know, you feel the burn of the opponent.
Yeah.
And it's
modern medicine has beat me. I got chlamydia.
It's that much sweeter a deal. So yeah, I guess in a way, you know, it's nice to be beaten every once in a while.
And then do you go to these people who beat you and
kick them in the nuts? Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
And punch them square in the face. No, and ask them and talk to them about, hey, what did you do? And do you, you know, that's where I think that was going. Apparently, it wasn't a real question. The guy was just, you know, goofing off. But
oh,
I mean,
that's
do you,
a good question.
But yeah, I thought it was good because I thought it was like, do you ever learn anything from the people who just constantly beat you around?
Oh, that was a question for you.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely not. I don't learn anything. That's, you know, why it's a good beat.
There's kind of like a little fraternity of guys who are, you know, perpetual winners in these things. And, you know, you can walk up and ask questions and stuff like that. And I think most of them answer. The people who can win a lot, they'll answer you truthfully, and they'll tell you exactly what they do. And it may not make sense, and it may seem – this is an interesting thing. An aside. So when I first started out, Mike Riddle was the guy to beat. Mm-hmm. Around this area, he won everything. Okay. He was, you know, brewer extraordinaire. You know, you could not beat this guy. Just awesome. And a lot of people, when I first started, they're saying, oh, Mike, you know, he lies. He's not going to tell you the truth. You know, what a bastard. You know, he'll give you a recipe, but it's a wrong recipe. Huh. That's like, well, these people were just crappy brewers. Mike was telling them the truth. He was giving them absolutely everything he knew, trying to help them make better beer. Yeah. But
good beer.
They were just pathetic.
Yeah.
Mike was, you know, being very honest and straightforward.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I found is, like, he was giving me every piece of advice he could to help me make better beer, and he did. And I think, you know, most of these guys, you know, they get to a point they want to help other people make better beer.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, what you're doing with the Brewing Network and all that. And I think, you know, there's no question that they'll help out. So, you know, ask away, whether you're, you know, whoever. Just, you know, ask anybody. And then the people who are doing really crappy, don't take their advice. The people who are doing really well, take their advice. So, you know, you can ask Joe or, you know, Kristen or, you know, Mike or
Justin Crossley. That was really good. Good answer.
Why, thank you.
You're
welcome. It's almost as rewarding as chlamydia.
Yeah. Well, chlamydia is, it's hard to compete with that. That is rewarding. It keeps giving and giving, and you can give it and give it. You know what I'm saying? Here's another question from the chat. Are NHC judges generally better than judges in other competitions?
Interesting. I just saw a breakdown analysis of the judges in the first round versus the second round, and actually the judges in the second round are better, as if you believe that BJCP rank has something to do with the quality of the judging. So they're applying more high-ranking judges per beer than they are in the earlier rounds.
Mm.
And I would say, especially in the second round, you're getting more high-ranking judges than you are in most local competitions, by far.
Okay.
There are, you know, smaller competitions, some competitions where it's pretty junky, and, you know, I think... you know, anything can happen. And there are some, there are certain states with a lot of qualified judges, California, Denver, you know, there's some concentrations on the East Coast and the Midwest that, you know, Texas and, you know, and things can be really good. So there's great competitions anywhere in the states, but there's some really kind of really where they get 40 entries and, you know, it's people who like beer judging.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, you know, anything can happen.
Okay. All right. Here is kind of a general beer question for you, but it definitely pertains to competition beer. How do you know when a beer has aged long enough? And it's certainly going to depend on the beer, but what do you think? What do you guys think about that?
When it tastes good.
Hmm. Well, yeah, when it... obviously, aging, you know, every beer probably should be aged a little bit. It's really, you know, falls back on your own palate if you're the one that's doing the, you know, the periodic tasting. You taste it weekly, but if you can't, you know, tell incrementally if the beer is getting better or worse, then that's not really not going to help you. So I don't know. I would say that if you've got good beer taste, yeah, just taste a certain staleness. That's what I would look for first. Is like old beer sort of flavor. I don't know, tastes like an old ale or something like that.
Yeah, you know, nowadays I would say, well, when I taste it, I know when it's right, and that's when I.
But these are people who don't know
exactly,
that.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And when, like I said, nowadays I would say that. But when I started out, what I did was, okay, I brewed the beer. Oh, it seems ready. It's carbonated. It tastes like beer.
Yeah.
You know, enter it in.
What's wrong with that?
Doesn't do so well. You know, enter it in again in another competition, it does a little bit better. Enter in another competition, it's doing even better. And it's like, well, you know, if you taste the beer along the way, and, you know, every time you enter a competition, you should have some for you to taste about the same time that they're tasting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps you kind of, or, you know, when you get the judging sheets, you should read the judging sheets and taste the beer yourself. And over time, beer changes. And, you know, when, you know, if... It's kind of an education for yourself as well. You'll taste it. It's doing better. You know. Hopefully, you'll recognize why it's better at that point, why it's scoring better, and you'll have notes or at least memory of the changes over time. It's always good to take notes every time you taste your beer. Write something down. Say, well, it's like this or like that. It doesn't matter if you really know what you're doing. Just write down what you perceive.
Mm.
And see how that changes over time and match that up to, you know, what happens in competitions.
Okay. Well, that's good advice right there, actually. 888-401-BEER, that's our number. Yeah, I'm surprised that you're giving out good information.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Are we tasting listener beer today? I don't think so. I think the listener beer that was sent in was sent for Doc. Was it not?
It was, yes.
And by the way, we do have a mountain of beer that was sent in for Doc. You guys are very generous trying to help a brother out. He has now fallen off the wagon. So he wants to have a rager for it. So he doesn't want to do it on just any show. You got to do it on one where he says he can spend the night and not get in trouble. So and not fall off a pole, hopefully. But we do have a lot of good beer, don't we?
Yeah, and keep sending it, too. I mean, the beer's great. I mean, no, it is. It is, you know, and I think everyone enjoys the feedback. I enjoy
it. He refills the bottles with something else, but, you know, yeah, they were great when you sent them in. Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's great feedback, you know, when you have someone in the room like, you know, Jamil or McDowell. It's great to get the feedback. So if you guys are looking for that, you know, send it in.
Yeah. Chat takes care of it now. We do have a lot of beer. We have to do that tasting party for Doc just to make room in the fridge. Basically, these guys sent a lot of bottles of beer. Nice stuff. Very nice stuff. Plus, my pops put me in that beer of the month deal. So I get a 12-pack sent to me. It's not every month, though. Maybe it's not called beer of the month. Beer of the every other month, I guess.
Beer of the whenever the hell we feel like it.
Yeah. But this is going to be good for the show because we get a lot of different commercial beers from all over the place that are being sent to us that we don't normally get. So we'll be able to taste them, talk about them on the air. All right, Tasty. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your fruit beer? This seems to be the last question I have in front of me about this sort of thing. Okay. You want to tell us? We've talked about it on the show.
Tell them about your fruit beer secret.
It's pretty high tech.
I eat fruit.
What I do is take my Dortmunder Export, which we're drinking today, which is, I have to say, excellent.
Although not as excellent as mine.
I wasn't aware you had
one. That's right. It's about 20 times more excellent than yours.
Oh. No, I disagree.
I think that's a BJCP judge there that passed. Well, whatever. Everybody has
Now Jamil knows what he's talking about. Now you agree with everything he says.
I always agree with everything he says. What if I disagree?
Justin just got served.
Well,
I still think you're wrong, and I think your beer sucks.
The fruit beer that I enter in competitions is based on this Dortmunder Export, and I get a bottle of peach extract from your home brew supply store. Mine is Beer, Beer, and More Beer.
Mm-hmm.
And fill the bottle with my Dortmunder Export, take the eyedropper, and add...
9 drops.
No.
12 drops.
18 drops.
18. It used to be 9.
You've doubled it?
Here's the secret.
The eyedropper.
Oh. No, but the secret.
Heroin.
Well, we talked about this originally.
Well, what's the secret?
The secret is You want to, you know, pour yourself, several cups.
How did I get 18 drops? Answer that.
Okay. And you want to dose, a couple of drops in each one, and, ramping them up. And you sample them, and what you want is until the peach just becomes apparent. Okay? If this is going to be a fruit beer, the fruit has to be apparent. Mm. All right? You don't want it overwhelming, though. You want it to balance with the beer. You want to have a nice balance. So when you can just smell it, then you're at the right amount.
Okay.
And the reason that you'd use peach extract in a lager beer is because peach, apricot, they have a, and people freak out when I say this, but there's a sulfury component to peaches and apricots, any stone fruit like that.
Yeah, and man, stone fruit. Woo!
So there's also a sulfur component to any lager.
Right.
So when you're doing a lager, you want to do like peach or apricot. They're almost interchangeable. When you're doing other beers, you can go ahead and use the other fruits.
Cherry or something like
but
that.
But with these, that's one of the reasons you use peach, because it kind of enhances that character.
Hmm.
But you just dose it drop by drop until you can just smell it. And then you cut it off right at that point. Whatever that is, so you pour 2 ounces. It's a 12-ounce bottle. Multiply by 6. Dropper that in. And then recap it, and you're done.
Yeah.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's great fruit beers made by infusions and masticating, whatever, blueberries and shit like that.
Like a waste of time.
Well,
most of
because
the
time. It's beer.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't deserve all that sort of other matter. It's because it, you really
beer,
the beer,
the beer
has to
is
come
more
through.
Important. You
the
have to have a nice important. Beer to start right. with. You got to have a good Dortmunder to start with if you're going to do this, and then you add the peach extract, and it balances out. But if you have a bad beer, adding fruit to a bad beer makes a bad fruit beer. You're really not going to change it into a good beer.
Yeah.
So
it's a good thing I have a really good Dortmunder.
No, you don't.
Well, we're going to find out, I think, this first round here.
It will be entered. Oh, it's on.
Challenge.
Of course, I'm the organizer, so I mean...
It's been brought in.
I've tasted both. I'm telling you, there's worlds of difference between the two.
Jamil, everybody knows you have no idea what you're talking about.
Are you turning his mic off? I think he's turning his mic off.
Turn your microphone off. Come back when you know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Oh, you got served.
Shat, don't book Jamil again until he knows what he's talking about.
Especially about Dortmund.
Could be forever.
Yeah.
Oh. I might be tending the judging pool here. Hey, more Dortmund.
All right, we'll see. All right, another quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. So if you got any last questions, I do have one more beer question in front of me that I will give to Jamil when we come back. Anything else, get it out now. Plus, crazy bitch update. This is a good one, folks.
Stay tuned.
You're going to want to hear this one. Tasty, you haven't heard this yet, I'm sure.
No, but I'm dying to know.
Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters, on the Brewing Network.
Did you know that every day a brewcaster goes to bed hungry? Did you know that that brewcaster is silently calling for the help of people just like you? Do you know that every day the unicorn and the rainbow have to blow sailors for loose change? For less than the cost of a half-calf, quad-shot, venti, extra-hot, soy milk, triple-pump, hazel, low-fat foam, double-cupped macchiato a day, you can help starving adults in Pacheco. Your love can be felt for as little as 7 cents a day. Visit thebrewingnetwork.com/donate to sign up today for as little as $2 a month. Private first class in the BN Army. Buy your way up the ranks as corporal, sergeant, ranger, or colonel with an easy-to-do monthly donation that keeps Brewcasters alive and your favorite internet radio station broadcasting. No donation is too small to help those in need. Can't you find it in your heart to share your love with a brewcaster? In return, you will enjoy the wealth of knowledge that comes with every episode of The Session, The Jamil Show, and yes, even that other show. Thank you for listening, and please sign up for your donation at thebrewingnetwork.com/donate today.
Well, I have to confess, I love you so much. I sing to the skies. When my lips you touch, from the very highest mountain top, declaring stridently, I love you so much, I want you inside of me, beer. I love you, beer. I love you, beer. I love you, beer. Oh, please fill me up like a port side whore. When she takes on the crew of a man of war, oh, fill me to the brim, and I'll call out for more. I take so much of you until my throat grows sore. Oh, beer, I love you, beer. I love you, beer. I love you, beer. From my head down to my feet, it's you that makes me complete. 'Cause I don't wanna see the kind of man I'd be without you, beer. Without you, beer. I love you when you're warm, I love you when you're cold. I love you when you were new, and I love you when you're old. To the gates of hell I swear, it's you I'll follow. I love you so much, I'd even swallow you, beer. I love you, beer. I love you, beer. I love you, beer.
What have you gotten out of a vial of White Labs yeast?
WLP 001, Cal Ale, baby.
23, Burton Ale.
008, East Coast Ale.
Cal Common, WLP 810.
It's gonna be WLP 400 with beer.
I got a sweet hoodie for my vial.
Huh?
White Labs, your source for great brewer's yeast, would like to invite all homebrewers to join the White Labs Customer Club. Redeem your empty vials for great White Labs merchandise and products. Free yeast, glassware, t-shirts, baseball caps, sweatshirts, polo shirts, and you won't believe what you'll get for 5,000 vials. Members also receive a newsletter packed with White Labs updates and facts, interviews with professional brewers, brew your own clone recipes, beercook.com recipes, and customer club stories. The White Labs Customer Club. Save your vials and get in the club. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Mix me your 100 grain amber recipe and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of Live Beer Radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
You're listening to The Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. Yeah.
I don't know why you guys are bothering to do a side-by-side of those Dortmunders. I've already...
Yeah, Dr. Scott's beer is better.
...told you whose was whose. I don't know why you have to be so angry
because
about the
funny
fact
to me.
That
That's
I brewed
why.
A fantastic beer, JP.
Because you didn't.
I hope I win a medal.
I hope you do, too.
I did. What do you mean, I didn't?
I like giving you shit. Is that okay? I didn't know you had
Just
to take
make
it so
it,
hard.
Make it truthful shit.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Here's this,
feelings calendar.
Here's this line, and I'm going to stand right on it, and it can't go either way, one way or the other.
You know, this the second pour of this of your Dortmunder is much better than what I had earlier.
Could be the line, huh?
Mm-hmm. Go easy on Tasty, okay? I don't want him going home crying about.
Yeah, break it to me gently.
Hey, please.
Instead of 20 times better, it's probably what, 5?
This is much
funny to me. That's
rude. A fantastic. Hey, please say you can't listen to the show and be on Skype.
This is much better, Chad, than the earlier pour.
All right,
I mean, worlds better.
Mine's worlds better
than what I was poured earlier.
Oh.
Just need to warm up the palate,
right,
maybe.
Which one's this one, Chet?
That is yours.
Yours.
This one's mine. And Doc's.
Because earlier, it was buttery.
Did we forget Doc a couple times?
Earlier, it was buttery, sweet, and cloudy. This is...
That's how I like my women.
A little bit hazy, a little bit. But it's much crisper. It's not buttery. It's not sweet. It's not cloudy.
It's awesome is what it is.
It is good.
It's friggin' awesome.
This is the same beer as before?
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you point? Why are you trying to sabotage me, Shat?
Shat, hey. You're a jerk.
You and JP are in cahoots.
Not me. I didn't do it a thing at all. I didn't do it, and I will walk.
This is much, much better now. Now it's a little bit of a horse race.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you got called a horse.
You gonna try this again, Johnny?
What? Is this working?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah!
Johnny P, my brother!
Are you testing your Skype, John?
Shit actually works.
Yeah, it does work.
Wow, it's clear. Hi, guys.
So are we ready to do shows a week from tomorrow?
Yeah.
You had to think about it. What are you thinking of quitting on?
Good job, John.
He's checking his
John has been
calendar.
There for every show. I cannot say the same thing for myself.
It's true.
John has always been there. Every nice. Show.
Johnny decided to go to Napa today instead of come and hang out with us. How about that?
That's right. Probably took the wife with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Married already.
John, you're not married yet.
I know. I meant. Sorry.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry.
God damn it. Justin doesn't have a Dortmunder. John's not married yet.
I'm drinking Hellas.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, well, that makes up for it.
Johnny, how many beers are you entering to NHC this year?
A lot.
What's with you, Captain Secrecy?
Oh, he'll sandbag. He'll go, six.
I mean, 50. See, with John, it's like
did
when...
Did John just say 58?
He said 60.
What did you
I said
say?
58.
See, John is
I'm going
like,
to enter 59.
You know how when a chick tells you how many dudes she slept with, you got to like double it? John's entering 116 beers.
Uh-huh.
There you go. To the NHC.
Yeah, but only four different ones. I got this Kolsch that's going to be a really awesome porter.
58 beers, John. That's a hell of a lot of beers, man.
It's 2 years worth of brewing. It's 34 different beers, 5 different ciders, and 2 different meads.
Wow.
John sounds real manly over Skype.
That's kind of deep in your voice.
He does.
Like he doesn't sound like 12 years old now.
I'm running the shit through my studio right now.
It's got extra compressor on there or something.
Is that better?
Oh!
Very manly.
That's better. You're dropping out a little bit, though. Your connection's kind of rough.
I'm sorry. There you go.
That's nice. So I did want to have Johnny here for the show, but he couldn't make it. I gave him late notice.
It would have been great to have you, buddy.
Yeah,
we would have liked that. We did all, National Homebrewer Conference prep and competition talk for the whole show, Johnny.
If you have questions for John about the NHC, then...
forward on the Gmail.
A week from tomorrow, John will be live in the studio, and you can ask questions then.
There you go.
Or I can give you his direct work line.
Yeah. Bug him at home.
His call cell phone number is 925-255.
And now you can Skype. You can search for Jonathan on Skype, and you can be his friend.
Jonathan with no H's.
He needs friends on Skype.
Lots of friends. I have two.
You have two?
And they're both, one's Anna and one's Anna's cat. they Skype me from my laptop.
One would be left and one would be right.
I have a drunk of the week call to take. You want to, let's see who we got here. Caller, who are we talking to?
What's up, ladies?
Who is this?
This is No Remorse.
No Remorse, back in action. How many times has he been our drunk of the week?
Never. I've been your bitch of the week twice, though, you pussies.
Oh, that's right. He was our bitch of the week. Yeah. You're off to a start again.
You're drinking too much. You need to take out the trash.
Oh, sorry, my wife is... She's dumb.
Sounds like you're up for low life white trash of the week.
Oh.
No. Just out with her friends and now she's crazy.
You better give her another black eye.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to call in for a combination drunk of the week between Chris J and I from Ottawa, where it's like 20 below.
You can't come by.
We've been like
week.
Pent up inside drinking all day.
Yeah. You better take out the trash, man.
Yeah, you're gonna
take out the papers.
Well,
the trash.
Dude, this is busted. I brewed yesterday and I did Jamil's ESB because the homebrewer didn't have the ingredients for the imperial porter, or no, the imperial stout or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the grain in the
starts
the
to stink.
Urn.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And she came home thinking our cat peed on the floor. Because that's what it
again.
Smelled like.
Mm-hmm.
And she figured it out now. She's pissed that I'm just too lazy to do it. So.
John, see what you have to look forward to, my brother?
You're drinking too much. Take out
Thanks,
the garbage.
I'll take out the trash right now.
Yeah, you should,
Johnny.
Yeah,
do it
twice.
Do something proactive before this starts in.
And then remind her, and I took the trash out Sunday. Leave me alone.
I was trying to.
I've been drinking my not quite a porter that Doc reviewed last week, and he said the first thing was, well, it's not a porter.
Yeah.
I figured out why. It turns out the homebrew place, I'm not going to mention them, they gave me the wrong, that was my last extract beer. Now I've done all grain. They gave me the wrong extract.
Aha.
So it made my beer totally different.
I bet I know which one it was.
Yeah, what? I bet you don't.
Ooh.
Is that JP?
That is JP.
Who else was anybody know anything about beer?
Yeah, here, I'll tell you one thing. If you find a woman who's willing to marry you, have sex with you, allow you to brew and to drink, you damn well better take out the trash.
Yeah.
Good point. Fuck up
because
a good
most
thing.
Most of them won't allow you to do all that
yeah,
stuff.
Right,
so
yeah.
You hear that, John?
Hey, I'm set then.
Yeah, Johnny's all right. He's allowed to do all that. And he still gets laid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he writes books occasionally from what I hear.
And he has two cats.
Yeah.
And takes out the recycling as well, not just the trash.
Well,
I'll California for you.
I'll tell you what, no remorse. You don't sound too drunk to me. So
you sound whooped.
Sound pretty gay.
But that has nothing to do with this at this time. Please don't bring it up.
And what else is new? Good Lord.
I heard JP makes a great top. Depending was asking for GABF.
Yeah. See, he's angry of the week now.
No, are you the guy who sent me the
push?
Email?
He's in the military.
No,
that's what military guys do.
He was angry.
All right. I'll catch you later, brother.
I think he fell asleep reading the book.
I kind of like angry guy of the week now, too. I have to add that to the competition. You know?
It's a good idea.
All right, John. Well, I'm sorry you couldn't make it in with us. That would have been, you would have added a lot to the show. So
I'm just glad I was able to get a hold of you guys.
That's cool. Next Monday.
You like getting hold of guys, John?
Back in the studio. John and Jamil doing, what are you guys doing? What are your styles next
time? Wasting your time.
Beer de Garde, Chad tells me. And Beer de Garde and what's the other?
Premium Bitter.
And Premium Bitter, yeah.
Well, Shad, it sounds like you're doing more producing on the Jamil show than you do around
he's
here.
Brewing, hey, he's brewing for that show.
Hey, you know, you feed the healthy pig, not the skinny pig.
Aww.
Hey, what's on our show next week, Shad?
Who cares?
That's a good question.
I'm working on it.
Beer de Garde.
You know, I am sick and tired of having to take second chair to this Zanishev character.
Hey,
all
hey,
the time.
Hey, where your bread is buttered.
You know what's on our show? It's how to produce the Jamil show.
There you go.
Ooh, good topic.
It's the only thing I know how to do.
Hey, Johnny, love you, man.
Love you too.
See you a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
See you Tuesday, John.
Hey, later, John.
Since you are kind of asking about future shows, we're gonna have a great Belgian show coming up with Struess. Chris from Ebenezer's Pub is going to join us as well with Paxton.
Nice.
That's coming up in the next couple weeks. We're going to have a pro-mash show, hopefully.
Okay.
Beer Advocate's going to be on with us.
Well, I will say this. I've listened to, you know, all the podcasts out there on beer, mm-hmm. and I enjoy all those shows. You know, guys doing a great job and really putting a lot of effort into these shows. But, you know, there was a while there where I really enjoyed... you know, Basic Brewing Network was one of my favorites. I really come back. You know, there was the period of time there where Daniela left. I think the Sunday show kind of got a little weak.
It was
but
rough.
It's really on track the past, you know, since Shaq came on, started being producer. Really, this is the show.
I cannot listen to enough of this show.
What are you paying this guy? Shit.
I love it. I think you guys are firing on all cylinders.
He's right. Thank you. For a while, until Shad came on, we did have a problem.
There was a little weakness in that.
Yeah, well, no, we did. We had a problem with people producing absolutely nothing at all. And so Chad came on to fill that void, and now we have a lot of nothing. And it's great. I think it's really moving along.
I think you got great guests. I think, especially I'm here. You know, great pro guests, and you know, there was a lot of great stuff going on. I really enjoy it.
Thank you, it's been fun.
I cannot skip a show.
Wow,
I've listened to every show. I love it. You know, you're hitting on all cylinders.
All right, every minute. Hey, that's good to know. Jamil's a critical bastard.
I'm really very picky.
Yeah, he's got better things to do.
I don't have time to waste, and so I actually haven't been listening to any of the other shows for a while. Because we're rocking your iPod. Yeah, this is the thing I'm listening to. It's a Sunday show.
Sweet. Can we move on now?
Yeah, for the past several months.
Too many feelings.
You are so uncomfortable and angry, JP.
Hey, I'm just giving credit where credit's due. This is good stuff,
John.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, you share an office with JP now.
No, say that.
Just soften him up a little bit. Get him past this anger.
A few kidney punches, that'll do it.
Yeah, like some bang him over the head a few times or something.
And it's KY jelly, and that's not working. But.
Wow. Maybe I'll meet
you. Got to apply it to the right sphincter.
I think you're embarrassing him now.
Maybe I'll meet you by the wart chiller section after work, John.
I don't know what that means. Is that code for something?
Yeah.
Yeah. we talked about it on lunch meet last year.
Yeah.
When John was on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Murder! Never mind, John.
That would be an insider joke.
All right. Thanks, Johnny.
Bye.
See you, brother. I got Push calling in. I got
people
on the line.
Okay. These Dortmunders are kind of neck and neck.
Yeah?
Last sample I got, the race has tightened up a bit. Really? The first sample I got, there was like a 20-to-1 difference.
Chat pissed in that one.
Well, I wondered. Yeah, I think it kind of had that familiar.
Maybe it was the glass.
I knew it was familiar.
But these last two samples, it's pretty close.
Yeah,
there's a difference to them, but they're both well brewed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They'll be neck and neck. I would be surprised if both don't go on to the second round.
Oh, huh? Tasty. Me and you, we're gonna have it out.
Well,
a little rivalry.
Well, no, I mean I fully expect Dr. Scott and I to. Both metal.
Oh, well, Tasty is my friend.
You are a jerk.
No, we're both,
when you're busy not being a jerk, you're an extra uber jerk.
Well, it depends on what you bottle up. If you bottle up what Shat first gave me, then you're not going to make the second round. If you bottle up what he gave me the second time,
yeah,
it's good stuff.
It's a winner. It's young. How old is yours, Tasty?
I brewed it in November.
Ours is younger, so it's going to get better.
I like younger things.
I think you might be peaking at that time.
Yeah, right around April.
Yeah, I think.
I've been known to peak too early, so I hope that
shoot too early. Yes,
I hope that April is. Hope this is my year.
Pretty mature peaking. Wait
5 minutes. Yes.
So was that beer carbonated enough the first time around? Because I did bump up the carbonation. Will that actually make that big of a difference?
Carbonation makes a huge difference.
In this beer, particular? I mean...
Yeah, it's you know, most lagers are a fairly carbonated bunch.
Hey, Push, what's happening, brother?
What? Damn it.
What?
What's the matter with you, Charlie?
He's a mad boy.
I'm stretching doing Pilates. What?
I got a movie for you, buddy.
It's called Brokeback
Mountain. Jay-Z, I know your movies, dude.
30 Days a Night.
It's called The Field of Men.
Try and figure out which character you are in my imagination in 30
you
Days a Night.
You creep me out, dude. Seriously. Jesus.
I really like his lisp that's happening right now.
Yeah, hey, Captain Audio, you're overdriving your microphone there.
All right, hold on.
Well, boy, it's an Emmy-nominated sound guy here. Can't figure out how to use Skype.
All right, hang on. Is this better? I just want to say that I really wanted to...
Easy there. Are you there?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Well, you sound like you're at the bottom of a bucket.
God damn it. All right, this is all I got. All right. This is it.
All right, that's good enough. Are you still drunk and angry?
No, I'm super happy. I'm totally happy.
Yeah?
You don't sound like it.
I know, it's because I'm talking to you, jizzers.
That doesn't sound very happy.
He makes a point.
Did you get some action since we last talked? Yeah.
No, dude.
Did you read your kids' bedtime stories?
I can't answer that. Yeah, that's actually happening as we speak.
Little Red Riding Hood went through the forest.
No, dude. When I read Paddington, I do all the voices.
You do?
Jipper.
Give us some of the voice. Give us Paddington's voice.
No, Paddington's no fun. The dad's the fun one.
All right, give us your dad. Give us the dad's voice.
What does he say? I don't remember. He's kind of...
Get the book.
I can't. They're in there right now. Let's
it's
see.
All right if I touch you there. It's not wrong. It's love.
It's natural for sons to have secrets that mommy doesn't know about.
All right. Now Push's version.
What?
Now your version. I want to hear this daddy bear's voice.
Oh, I don't know. Dude, I don't know.
Just pick a line. Give us a sample. Come on.
What is his name? Is Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown, what does he say?
Mr. Brown knocking at the back door.
Says, hello there, Paddington.
Hello there.
Did you done get a job?
JP, I tell you.
Oh, shit. I'm really good at drunk Jenga.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is what's like drunk Jenga with Push. He just giggles the whole time like a dope.
We're gonna do it.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna do it. Who was it who caught the bookshelf that I almost dropped on MedTech?
I think it was Schumann.
Yeah. That was great. Oh, God.
All right, well, I tell you what, Push gets drunk of the week so far in my book.
Shut up!
No,
so completely different than how he usually is, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you should talk, Jay-Z.
Yeah, you should.
What is that?
Okay.
Jay-Z, you should
say. What do you want me to talk about? I'll do it.
You are the most different drunk dude
hammered.
Versus sober dude that I've ever met.
Jay-Z gets touchy. He gets a little more touchy, and a little more lovey. But
yeah,
Push,
I'll cup you when I've had a few.
Yeah,
reach around, a little cupping, little teabagging.
No, you're great.
I was so mean to you in the GABF. I still feel bad to this day.
Yeah, you ass.
I gave you so much crap.
Did you?
I did, but it was in a friendly way, but I gave him a whole bunch of crap. I still feel bad about it. I thought he knew I was kidding, but I don't think he did.
That was great fun. I really hated the sober Jay-Z.
I was so mean to him.
Sober Jay-Z was a jerk. Drunk Jay-Z is great fun.
I would turn to Palmer. I'd go, hey, what's wrong with your boy? He's not bringing me a beer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
no, Push
like
told me all about it later that night. He was really upset.
He cried.
He was like, what's with
you? He put
Jamil?
His head in your lap and cried?
Yeah.
That's what we call it.
Listen, a lap dance is always better when
I
the stripper's
really
crying.
But I was right just now. Playing around. So now I have to treat him really nice the rest of the time.
All right. No, I give you drunk of the week, Push.
Oh, something I never aspired to.
Have you ever been drunk of the week before?
Never. Just that one night when you and Schumann were here.
Oh, yeah. We were all drunk then.
You told me it was college.
Time for experimenting? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, baby!
He's right. A winner.
Pushy, you're our drunk of the week. Congratulations, my friend.
We never got the Paddington Bear voice.
No, he didn't give it. You want to try again?
I can't think of a single line out of the book.
It's okay if I touch you there.
Next week, Push. Next week.
All right, I'll work on it.
Oh, you work up your skit.
He must not be that drunk if he's not just like...
Even God poops.
Yeah. I can't remember falling into a
single...
Say anything.
Just any sense.
Tell us about the weather.
How about your crazy bitch voice?
My crazy bitch voice?
Hey, let's hear a crazy bitch impersonation.
Have the crazy bitch update while Push is on.
I would love the... Yeah, do it. Can I just hang on for that? Do the crazy
bitch. Crazy bitch voice there.
Half woman, half animal.
what was going on in there, Shat?
But all
like
sexual.
Wow.
She's a Sasquatch.
Was that Sam's Crotch Rot?
Yeah, drive that thing into her, Shat. Breaking ground underneath her.
Imagine having JP commenting in the back.
By play.
Yeah.
I could hardly hear the whip in that thing.
Things would go down pretty fast. Yeah.
All right. You just want to stay on the line with us, Push? I don't care.
Yeah, sure. That's great.
We have a phone call.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
Who do I have?
Oh, we're going to talk about competition category.
Yeah, well, I do got to do that, too.
Oh, we're still doing that. Okay, well.
Hey, Mrs. H. Back on track. Mrs. H, are you there? What's happening?
Not a whole lot.
What are you so miserable about?
I'm not miserable.
Listen to you. You sound awful. You having a rough night?
I asked JP in the chat room if you sent my package yet, and, like, he wouldn't even ask you.
And he wouldn't. Oh, so you're mad at JP?
Yeah. Mm. He was like, you have to call in.
I think I got your package here.
I'm tired of being everyone's secretary. Ask Justin this at the break. No! Call in.
I did not send your package, Mrs. H, because you said you had a question for me about it.
I didn't. I emailed you about it.
Oh, I didn't get an email. Maybe it was in my spam dumpster.
What are you, Hawaiian? You got a whole dumpster full of spam?
I'll check it. I'll check my email. Or send it again.
I'll try.
All right. Hey, what's with this MILF cast? What's going on there? You got, like, your own show now or something?
Do you know some MILFs?
Any MILFs
There's
on board?
Like three
with
of us.
And what are you guys going to do?
We're just going to talk about absolutely nothing. Kind of like you guys.
Hey, whoa, whoa! Blow, blow!
Hey, you keep that up. It'll be a good show. I like it.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be fully clothed?
Yes.
Oh, that sucks.
Jamil's not going to listen. In.
Or are you going to be drinking?
But it's like a video cast, right? It's not just audio.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll see all three of us.
Oh, I see.
So when is this going to happen?
You sort of like The View.
It was supposed to happen.
Oh, that's fine watching there.
But then, like, my mixer, I just got it.
Mixer? I don't even know
it. Working.
It's not working.
Oh, technical issues.
Well, it works, but I don't know.
Hey, Push, can you help her out?
See, if you're naked, it really wouldn't matter what the mixer did, you know. Nobody would give a damn, you see. That's where you need to focus your efforts, you see. It's quality of programming will overtake the quality
Jamil
of production.
Jamil has a hit show. He knows these things.
Yes. Yeah.
Stick with me, kid. You'll go places, eh?
Yeah.
Fortunately, he keeps
it's
his
like
clothes
everybody
on.
Everybody wants to see me naked. I don't think so.
Yeah, everyone wants to see everybody naked.
That's why
You'd be
it's
surprised.
All the co-hosts are very important.
Yeah. So you got it's going to be like The View.
Yeah.
That's only cool. Less Yenta-y, right?
Right.
That's good. That'll be good. All right. Well, you let us know
won't
when it's going to air.
Goldberg on it.
I bought a
sure.
rug. It was so expensive.
All right, Mrs. H. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go. The MILF cast coming to a computer screen
All right.
near you. Push.
Put that on our friends list.
You there, buddy? Push just left.
Do we still have Please Say on the line?
Sleeping? That.
No.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's talk. There's this one last topic we wanted to cover about the homebrew competition, and then we'll get to our crazy bitch update. And I do have one other question for you, Jamil. So, Shad had a good question at the break.
So, categories. I mean, which categories do you basically want to put your beers in? Because there's some big categories like IPAs. Everyone's putting an IPA mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. What kind of categories can you suggest to get into? And what's the difference? I mean, people entering less, entering more.
Right. So I hear this all the time. As people go, well, you know, this is all, you know, there's fewer entries in this category, so that's the category I should enter. And, you know, they'll have a beer that's, you know, some other category, and they think, well, I could enter that. That's close enough. I can enter in there. I think that's generally a big mistake. Here's the thing about there are certain categories that are heavily entered. IPA, American Pale Ale, American Ales, you know, the Stout category, those tend to be heavily entered. And what's entered in, and the reason those are heavily entered is because pretty much everybody and his brother, those are the beers they brew. They brew those beers time in, time out, day in, day out. That's all they brew. They don't brew the other styles. And 80% of those beers that are entered, they're not very good. So, you know, you're going up against a larger field, but there's a lot of beers in there that aren't so good. The theory in entering a category with less entries, like sour beers or, you know, some unique type of category, you know, there's quite a few fruit beers, too, is that, oh, there's less competition, I'll do better. The problem is those folks who have expanded beyond brewing just IPAs, pale ales, and stouts, they tend to be better brewers that enter these you know, more esoteric categories. They've done research. They've worked hard at it. So a lot of the entries tend to be better entries. Those categories tend to score a little higher. So you're not, I don't think there's anything really to do with the categories as far as, oh, I'm going to enter this just because. I wouldn't look at it that way. I would say, you know, brew your beer, taste it, you know, get some person who really knows the styles to taste it for you and say, you know, this is a really good example of this style. And then enter it in that style. Don't worry about how many people are entered or what style it is. Mike, you and I, you know, a couple of years ago, you brought some beers down, and you're like, well, this was, you know, brewed as a Kolsch. You know, what do you think? Yeah. And I said, you know, that's a really good Dortmunder export. Yeah. And what happened? You know, you placed with it as a Dortmunder export.
I didn't change
the
recipe,
round,
and I've been
right?
entered ever since as a Dortmunder. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and Mike's an excellent brewer, but... You know, this is one, it's a style area that he wasn't that familiar with. And so, you know, he asked my opinion. I thought it was excellent. And, excellent Dortmunder export. And sure enough.
That's a great point. If you can get your beer in front of people that know beer, it's a great, great asset.
That's more important. And, yeah. There's plenty of entries in Dortmunder export. He could have entered it as a Kolsch, but, that might have had fewer entries, but
sometimes
still.
I enter in both, and it's done well in both, actually.
So that's the thing,
because it's a tasty beer, as you said earlier.
Sure,
they throw the style book out and say
they'll make excuses.
We
got to
make some
kind of
room
fit
for this beer.
Yeah. The styles are broader and more flexible, so you want to target the styles that and don't worry about. Trying to brew something to fit, or enter something just because you think there's less competition, it's a mistake. I think it's a waste of money and waste of beer.
All right. Very nice. We got a lot of calls coming in now, too. I got Doc on the line. Doc!
Hey, man, what's up?
What's happening?
Brother!
Oh, I got a little call in and listened to you, and I got bumped out of the stream.
Oh, really?
So then I thought I'd try again. I got back on and thought I'd sneak in a beer before kitty bedtime.
Ah, very nice. Well, Jamil came all the way down here to see you, and you're not around.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed about that because he sounds like he's in a pretty good mood.
That's because I'm sitting in your chair.
He is.
Oh, damn.
He's in the Doc's throne.
Yeah, nice ice cream.
Ice cream.
Nice
whatever,
ass.
What's he talking about?
Is McDowell hungry or something?
Yeah, I guess.
Nice ice cream.
Hey Doc,
they look like ice cream scoops, but they're really
ball impressions.
Doc, we had a serving error with your beer.
What's that?
Well, you
think about it, McDowell. It's all right.
Well, Chad, when Chad poured your beer earlier, you must have got like a dirty line or something, but it wasn't that tasty.
It wasn't so good.
Here we had
poured it again.
You're beating up on the guy now.
The Dortmunder.
Really good Dortmunder.
You can't trust anything at the Rat Pad.
No, you can't. But here's what's happening. I've been standing up for our beer the whole time.
And he was right.
And telling Tasty that his Dortmunder has nothing.
Which I have here tonight.
On
Scott.
Our Dortmunder. So
you know what? Someone's got to stand up for it.
That's right. It's us against Tasty in the second round is what's going to happen.
My prediction is both of you end up in the second round.
Oh, that's going to be nice.
That's how we roll, isn't it, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's with this friendly competition crap? Talk a little smack, Doc.
We're in the same club. Come on.
Oh, yeah, we're in the same club. We got to, got to work together.
Bunch of feelings. All right.
And although, at the final dinner at the second round when we're both feeling like shit,
yeah,
it might be a little different.
Yeah, right. We'll fucking knock you in the head if you win, you fucker.
That changed quick.
Yeah.
You see me coming across the table at you.
That's right. You got to move, so yeah, that's right.
But I'm from Clayton, son. It's a different story out there.
Are you back with us next week, Doc?
Yeah, I should be, no problem.
Is the wife still out of town right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How long is she gone for?
Just tomorrow night late.
No, that's too bad. We could have raged at your place tomorrow instead.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, she'll be gone until probably 11 at night.
Yeah, as long as I'm gone before 11.
Drunk ass out of here before she shows up.
We could do that.
Yeah, that'll be good. I can beat your kids at video games.
Hey, Doc, how many beers are you going to enter in the Nationals?
Haven't figured that out yet.
Roughly?
More than 10, less than 24.
Okay.
Any archived beers? Like any old beers been kicking around a couple of years?
Yeah, I got a few old Belgians that I got rolling around that are going to go in.
Nice.
Hey, what do you think about bottle capping on a full moon, Doc? Do you like that too?
Depends. You know, if the sweat on my balls is going to the right or to the left, I don't know.
Close on, close off.
God
yeah.
damn it, I thought it was funny. Okay.
No, that one.
That was my Chad impression. That was my Chad impression.
Damn it.
All right. Here, you want to stay online for a sec, Doc? I got another call coming through here, too.
Sure.
Brett, what's happening? Got Brett on Skype here, maybe.
Brett?
Brett, you there?
Hey.
There he is. I hear you there somewhere, hey. Brett. Yeah, I can hear you. What's happening?
Midwest. Minnesota?
It's like a ham radio station.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Wait. Oh?
Mm. Nope. I'm just testing the scribe.
All right, it works, jerk. Okay. Well, there you go, Doc. You're not missing a thing, huh?
Well, I did find one of my favorite beers that I'm having now.
What
is it?
The Mephistopheles Stout.
Ah, Avery, right?
Yeah, it's like 16%. It's a nice beer.
Nice.
I'm seeing stars right now.
We got a truckload of beer for you here, man. These guys really came through for you.
Well, you know what? We're going to mow through that like rock stars.
It's going to be a good show.
Doc's falling off the wagon, and we've caught him, apparently.
Yeah. All right, brother. Well, have a good night, and we'll see you here next week, huh?
Okay, you will, and I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good time.
Later, Doc.
Bye.
Later.
All right. Last question I had for you came through about one of your beers, Jay-Z. Ask Jamil, if I have his Saison at 80 degrees right now, but he wants to pitch some 001 to dry it out a little more, should I lower the temperature to accommodate the 001? Should I get that down to 68 or so, he's asking.
I think it'd be okay at 80, but... 75 or 72 is probably better.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's fine at 80.
All right.
Just the one really critical thing, if you ever find you have a beer that didn't attenuate enough and you want to dry it out further, the thing is you can't just dump in yeast, right? If you dump yeast in beer, it doesn't ferment. What you need to have is actively fermenting yeast that are already in the process of converting sugars. So you need to take whatever yeast you're going to put in this beer, put in a starter, wait until you get to high Kroisen, big foamy head going on, and then pour the entire thing into your beer. It's only if you have this actively fermenting yeast that'll start to sense these sugars in there amongst all the intense alcohol that's already there and to continue to ferment. If you just dump in yeast, it's not going to do anything. It's not an environment that it's going to start up in. So
just goes right
make sure that it's actively fermenting yeast.
Okay.
Put in.
All right.
Oh, what do you think about the 001? Would you use that for drying out a Saison? I'd use champagne yeast for that. What do you think?
You can. Sure.
Right. What are you trying to tell me, Push? He's there, just typing to me. He says, "Repitching never works, dipshits." He's angry.
It doesn't work if the yeast isn't active. That's the thing. Yeast has to be, you know, fully in the process of fermenting. That's the only way it'll work. Forget it.
What about dry yeast? Because I repitched a dry yeast and it got it down like 12 degrees or 12.
Unless it's actively fermenting, you know, forget it.
Oh.
I mean, there are situations where you know, you probably forgot to pitch yeast in the first place, or you dipped your tea bag in there, and that's all you did to start with.
That was the active fermenting yeast. It was his tea bag.
Now, the thing is, once alcohol gets beyond a certain percentage, the yeast aren't going to do anything unless they're already actively going. You toss the yeast in there, and you toss, you know, dry yeast or, you know, flocculated yeast into there. You know, forget it. You're just not going to get anything. You may get a point or two, but that's it. It's really not going to do anything.
You get another chance to contaminate the beer, too, by doing
it. I would think Charlie is closer to correct than JP, but that doesn't surprise me.
Hey, I've done it, and it worked for me.
Uh-huh. Good. Go for that. You continue with that success.
Someone asked earlier, isn't Jamil a black guy's name?
Yes, it is. And I'm named that way because of my enormously large penis.
It so. Came out, and your mom was like, holy shnikes.
Yeah, that's like a black guy's penis.
Jameel.
So. Yeah. There you go.
Oh! Chad, get that off the desk.
Chad's been drinking.
And get off the carpet, too, Chad. And then take your headphones off before
carpet
you...
I don't care about, but don't dump beer all over the equipment. Chad's throwing bottles of beer around.
Uh-huh.
Wow. He's not even drunk, I don't think.
I was impressed with the... I did drop my shorts during that last...
That bottle was slippery, the
question
labels.
Yeah.
Will Jay-Z do listener tastings on his show? I don't think we never have.
Generally, we don't. But there may be something coming up where you'll hear these listings.
Yeah, we're open.
Yeah. Stick with us.
We got to come up with another show here.
A couple things in store. Yeah. But with the Jameel show, it's a pretty tight format, and it's a short hour, really. Shorter than the average hour, I guess. And we don't really do too many extraneous type of
things. What day's word was that?
That was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Another Drunk of the Week call, huh?
Yeah, it was the guy who his Skype... It didn't work. You couldn't figure it out.
Ah, Brew Tattoo. What's happening?
Hey there.
Hey, Drunk of the Week, huh?
Well, I'm probably more drunk than the other Drunk of the Week.
You are a little more slurry, but Push brought it kind of strong. What have you been drinking?
No. I've been drinking since about 2 o'clock.
Since your mom was born, that's when I started drinking.
And what have you had?
Oh, shit. I've had.
Can you get drunk?
I'm drinking a Loose Cannon. I've had. What do you call it there? The Hop Wallop. I've had. Hop.
Just like rummaging through his garbage right now.
Let me see.
Hop Slam.
The pizza.
Colt 45. Fish sticks.
Couple of condoms, apparently.
EPT? What? I don't even know.
Apparently, I've gotten pregnant while I was at it. Well, I don't know. What do you guys think? Is he taking it away from Push here?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think
so. Push ain't got nothing on me.
Yeah. He kind of stole the show, man. He was angrier.
You have to know Push in his normal demeanor.
Yeah.
And he may not have sounded drunk, but
he
clearly must have been just three sheets to the wind to behave like that because he's normal.
Apparently, when Push is, most people slur their words. Push lisps when he's drunk. I'm super drunk, guys.
He's also a top when he's drunk.
I couldn't figure out the Skype, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it doesn't mean you're drunk. It just means you can't figure out
Well, I'm stupid and drunk.
Well, there you go. That's a winning combination.
Just inch your way up.
That counts for something, don't it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Huh.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
Did you ever get that Everclear song?
No. Which one are you talking about?
I sent you a CD with a bunch of songs on it.
Did it come recently?
Yeah, it was with the Doc stuff. I sent it with the
I got it.
Schlafly stuff.
Yep, I definitely have it. In fact, it's sitting on my desk right here, but I've not put it in yet. I have to put it into the computer. So how about I'll do it for next week?
You got to play the Everclear song.
All right, I'll do that.
It's
all right,
funny.
Brother. I don't know. We'll have to vote on this here near the end of the show. You've kind of redeemed yourself at the end here. So
I got lots more beer.
All right.
Keep working.
I'm not afraid to drink it.
All right, brother. We'll catch you later.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye.
All right. I got Push back on the line here. Push?
Yeah.
Is that your daddy bear voice?
You got the book, Push?
That's my Grubbs voice.
Oh.
Grubbs. Hey, that guy totally gets Drunk of the Week, dude.
Yeah.
That guy wins.
You think?
Sure. Yeah.
No, this is Push being a nice guy, Push.
Yeah, Push he's getting into his mellow drunk phase.
For
no, here's the deal.
Fight
I
for
love you all, man.
I hate you all, you bastard. I hate every one of you. Except for Tasty. Tasty's cool.
Oh, he's really drunk, man. He's lost all sense of reality.
I don't remember getting a cookie in Denver, bastard.
No, you weren't around at the right time. I say F Tasty and his Dortmunder.
I say F you, Jay.
Hey, I'm gonna fill the, I'm gonna fill the feelings counter out for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. The Browns were waiting to meet their daughter Judy when Mr. Brown noticed something small and furry near the left luggage office.
It looks small and furry. Yes.
God damn it! I don't let my kids talk when I'm reading. Jay-Z.
This is an insight into Push's life right now.
Push has got the small and furry next to his luggage nut.
Girls, I've told you 1,000 times when Daddy's
shut
talking,
the fuck up, girls.
Your faces.
Do not talk while Daddy's reading.
He's got the small and fuzzy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just do the voice. Don't read us a story.
Yeah, I...
No. Creep.
From now on, you're only allowed to call in with your Paddington Bear voice.
But Mr. Brown was right.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown was knocking at the back door.
Let me in here.
Ooh, Mr. Ooh. Brown. Ooh.
Let me in
Ooh,
this Mr. place Brown. Right now. Ooh. It's my place. I bought it.
Mr. Brown, use lube.
It was my house, and I'm a member of the Brewing Network Army. Now go fuck yourself, lads.
Story time with Push is a whole new podcast.
I think maybe Push has burst a vein in his head or something. You know, yeah. It's not drunk of the week. It's
aneurysm of the hour.
Yeah, head case of the week.
Yeah, does anyone else smell pancakes? Is it just me? Can I smell something? Jesus.
You want to stick around for Shat's crazy bitch update?
So I really, really want to stick around.
We got to do that. So
do
Shatty spills a lot. Got a little sighting this week, right?
Who had a... he had a sighting? That's no big deal. Did somebody else hear?
No. Thank you very much for the music. For me,
psycho bitch. Go ahead. What happened?
So, I'm fast asleep. This is about 2 a.m., 2:30, Thursday night. Got a big weekend ahead of us, you know, so I'm just ready for bed, you know, that's it. Go to bed, I hear some knocking on the window, 2:30. Kind of sounded like that, yes, a little bit.
Anyway, like when you let her in.
You know, so I hear all this banging on the window. I just ignore it, know what it is, you know, my phone's been ringing the whole night. You know. So I roll over, you know, try to dismiss it, and a few minutes go by, I hear some more knocking, you know. All right, so finally I feel like I'm going to get up, open the window, and just go, all right, you got to go, you know?
Yeah.
One of those things.
Not going to let her in?
Exactly.
No,
I passed out. I wasn't having it, you know?
No action.
No. So, as I, like, kind of get up to see what's going on and where she's at, she's gone. She's, like, walking away. I see her, like, stumbling down, like, the driveway.
She's just
This
hammered?
Is on my bedroom window. So, she's, like, stumbling down the front yard, you know, walking away. And so, I get up to take a piss or whatever. And I hear a noise in the kitchen, and I hear like fingers like on glass, you know, like
oh, like creepy style.
So I pop my head around because I don't want to kind of, you know, her to see me or anything. And she's going to every window in the house and trying to get in, and her fingers are like going trying to open the windows.
Case.
She went right down the line. I watched her. I mean, every window. She tried every window.
Really?
And eventually, like, I went back to bed, and I hear some more knocking, and then I just hear, like, a peel out in the front, you know, and that was it. She was gone.
Pulling Brody's on your lawn.
It's unbelievable.
You should have rushed ahead of her and pushed your ass up against one of those windows.
I got to lock my window,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so Jay almost got a visit.
Yeah, my window's open.
From the
yeah.
Sam Squamch.
She probably tried every window in this house.
Oh, Shat, you couldn't spare 10 minutes.
Yeah.
To just take care of business and then...
Do the bitch a favor.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
Buy some corn on the cob or something.
Should have given her the Shat stick.
All right, so there's a little
corn on the cob.
Preface to this. So earlier in the week...
Why not Oprah?
You know, she's texting me and saying, hey, I'm coming over, this and that.
What does she really say when she texts you?
Well... I'm coming over, we're gonna fuck, you know, whatever, you know? That's basically
Whoa,
what it comes
she
across
just,
as.
Yeah. She's like straight.
I wanna fuck, yeah, I'm coming over, you know, whatever. So.
Yeah, she's the one to like talk or something.
No, yeah, I wanna come over and hang out.
Yeah.
I wanna talk about feelings.
Yes.
No, that's not what happens. So anyway, so I respond and I say, you know, I'm not in the mood, whatever. And she just goes, you're dead to me, c'est la vie. You know, like in a text message.
Really?
And so this was like the night before. So the next night she just shows up. Like, she says she never wants to see me again, but the next day, oh, yeah.
She says she's trying to break in.
Yeah.
Man, I'm surprised she just didn't go to the neighbor's house, get some old.
Maybe she did. I don't know. She was here for a while.
And she just was like stumbling around?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a mess this woman is.
So we that's your update.
We got to get her on the show.
We need to get her on the show.
Or motion censored video outside.
That's what I was thinking. If he would have been able to capture her checking all the windows, how sort of great like, that would have been.
We need a
infrared thing or something.
A closed circuit TV in there.
Oh, man.
A green picture? That'd be so cool.
She's really a crazy. People think you can't make this stuff up.
That's
folks.
My psycho bitch. I'm not that creative, for one. And two, she's a psycho bitch. Yes.
She's just a glutton for punishment, too.
She's a glutton for Chad sausage.
For
is what
the
she
chat
is.
Stick. Yeah. Man.
That's the update.
All right.
Wow.
There you go. The crazy bitch update.
For me, psycho bitch.
Can't believe it. You're a lucky man.
Get away from me. Get away from me, psycho bitch.
I hope she never goes away. What are we going to do at the end of the show if crazy bitch...
She's here to stay, I think. I don't know. I don't think I have much choice unless I move.
The best part is that Chad's parents listen.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh,
yeah. Right now, his dad's grinning and his mom is shaking her head. Yeah.
Get Schumann to shove the hamburger up against the window next time.
You know, that's going to happen one of these times.
This is what we want to do is have Schumann and Shat switch rooms for a night. Like, when you're getting texts all day like that, Shat, that's when you go to Schumann, hey, tonight's the night, buddy.
No, we got to do the old switcheroo.
Jay, you tell Schumann to go to Chad's window.
is that what you meant?
Tasty and Shad.
Oh, should switch.
Oh, yeah. She never knows the difference.
Yeah. All right.
Tasty should be sleeping in there.
Yeah.
Come on in, you crazy bitch.
Room. Never notice the difference.
You guys do share a lot of things.
I'll be booking friends to come over for that particular reason.
Oh, man.
So sign up.
Gosh, what a mess.
You have a phone call, too.
Do I?
Yeah. I couldn't understand who it was. He's slurring his words.
Caller, who are we talking to?
Is it me?
Yeah, that's you, man. What's happening? Who are we talking to?
What's going on, Justin?
You know, a little of this, a little crazy bitch update. Who is this?
That's O'Neill66 in the forum.
O'Neill66.
Jason.
Oh, all right. That's good.
Oh, shit.
You just take the trash out.
Shit, I just got shot.
No, I just stood up, and that was a big event for me. I'm trying to argue for Bush here for Drunk of the Week.
Oh, yeah? Push, you got more competition here.
No, dude. Yeah, you can have it, dude.
Come on, Push. Stop being such a nice douchebag.
Yeah, don't be a pussy.
Oh, suck my fucking load.
Yeah, see, here's my problem, I ran out of CFTs last night.
Uh-huh.
So I got no more beer. So now I'm just drinking wine.
Oh, the old switcheroo. Oh,
he's drinking wine. Hang up on him.
That's it. He's out.
See, here's my problem. Like, I drank all the beer that I had in bottles, and now I'm, like, finishing off my wife's wine.
See that? I gotta give him props for that. He's no quitter.
That's true.
He could have just gone to bed, but he's no quitter.
No, see, I'm not gonna give up.
No, he could break in and rob the local liquor store.
Yeah,
you know, if he was really,
good point.
Drunk of the week material.
Yeah,
that's what crazy bitch would have done.
Take a brick to the window and start getting drunk and wait till the cops arrest you.
That's what's gonna happen to you, Shat. She's gonna throw a brick through your window.
Or
you better move your bed.
Slash my tires. Do something.
You're gonna get hurt. Cut your brake lines.
And you couldn't just spend 10 minutes taking care of business. Yeah. Well,
you could have done it right there on the porch. You didn't even have to let her in.
That's true.
Right in the window.
Just right in the window.
Just cut a hole through the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a glory hole.
A service port. Yeah.
It's a service port, JP, not a glory hole.
Three knocks, shove your wiener through.
Whatever backs up to it, you're set.
But just so you know, you make the hole bigger than it needs to be because when it's inflated, it's hard to get back out.
Okay? Schumann, get away from the glory hole. It's not your day.
I tell you, that's a great idea.
The service port.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to deal with any of the after stuff. You just
right
through
the window, so
you
know? Why not?
Yeah. Take care of it right there and say, all right, you go your way, I'm going
to
go back to
or
sleep.
Or just put in like a little doggy door like on my window.
Yeah, exactly.
A little flap.
Just big enough for a butt to stick through.
Just shove your ass in the doggy door.
Not for a head.
It kind of is a doggy door in that sense.
Oh!
That
movie.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
it is what it is.
Dear, oh dear. I hope you tuned out a long time
rough.
Ago.
Yeah.
Average
yeah.
listener.
Talking to me. You were looking at me. I tuned out years ago, man.
Well, what do you guys think? Now it's Brew Tattoo.
I say give it to Push because he doesn't want it. And that'd be even better.
Push is a bitch.
That's the rapist in JP talking.
He doesn't want it. Give it to him.
Yeah.
You're going to take it.
Take it.
It's better that way.
And don't look
at me. I like it when they resist.
Don't look at me.
I think Push is a bitch.
He is a bitch. Can y'all still hear me?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I hear you.
Has anybody noticed that Push is like taking the role
Push
of Bub tonight?
Because he lost for me back in the...
How did Bub get on here?
Butcher Christmas.
Oh, Jesus.
Snuck
I don't even know what he. I don't even know what he just said. What did he just say?
He said you're playing the role of him.
Oh. Yeah, and, back when the Bushers did the Christmas special for the 07 Christmas special, Bush was playing for me for their little "Are You Smarter Than John Palmer?"
Oh yeah, but I'm not very smart, dude. So Palmer, what does that? What does that say?
Brew Tattoo gets it. I give it to Brew Tattoo.
Yeah?
Done.
That
yes.
rambling story right there? Come on. He's drunk.
Oh, hey, Parker, come over here. Talk to Justin.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this will be good.
I got to be nice.
You want to talk to Justin?
Hi, Parker. How are you?
Fine.
Did you get a story time tonight?
Yeah, I did.
What story was it?
A Paddington.
Paddington.
Can you do the voice that Daddy does?
And sometimes I read Daddy Kisses 2.
Daddy Kisses 2?
What?
Is that a quarterly magazine that comes out, or?
You want to talk to Justin, too?
A website.
Okay, go fast.
Oh,
come
boy.
On.
It's romper room.
Daddy Kisses.
I think Parker's drunk of the week.
What, are you going to be shy? All right, go on. What? There's a book called Daddy Kisses Jesus. What?
Oh, man. What are you doing, Bush?
I thought that was a website or something.
Yeah. And if it's not, it will be in about 5 minutes.
I'm watching her talking to the mic, and she started saying that, oh, this is going to sound bad. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Daddy Kisses 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Oh, man. People are calling right now.
No, it really is a book of the lions and giraffes. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Is there a Daddy Kisses number one?
Yeah.
And a Daddy Kisses number two? And
No, I think it's Daddy Kisses Where I Go number one.
Oh, Jimmy. Come on.
I gotta go.
Because our family rating.
I don't blame you.
All right.
Bye.
All right, later.
Boy.
I didn't do it.
JP.
I didn't do it.
Walked right over it. Saw it. Got a pole. Vaulted right over top of it. All right, Brew Tattoo, you're drunk of the week, man. See, he's passed out. Told you he wins it.
Yeah.
Doesn't even know it.
That's a clincher there.
Yeah, he's still got his shoes on. He's asleep. He passed out. All right, are we done here? I think so.
No, there's two people that want to call in.
No, I don't want to take any more calls. We got to go. We got things to do, and Chet's crazy bitch is going to be arriving soon. We're all going to have to. We got to go batten down the hatches. It's getting late.
Cut a hole in the glory hole.
I think you need a bulletproof window with just the glory hole,
or maybe just Biscuit kind of stays in my room at night now.
It might be a good idea.
Guard dog.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to help you very much. All right, last call. Caller, who are we talking to?
It's Mrs. Henning.
Hello, Mrs. H. What's happening?
Not a whole lot. I forgot something.
Yeah.
The last time I called.
Okay, go ahead.
When the MILF cast is on?
No.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to wish Mr. H a happy birthday.
Oh!
Is it today?
No, it's a couple days.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Mr. H.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, way to go, man.
Another year.
You made it to 85.
Yeah. Another year, another tattoo. Huh, guys? I got a new logo coming out.
right.
Yeah, and get him all tatted up.
Would Mr. H get Would Mr. H get a lunch meat tattoo if we had a logo?
Would it be a unicorn and a rainbow?
Oh. Mm. Making love.
I might have to get one of those.
Ah, Mrs. Hey. H might get it.
Good.
Yeah, we're talking. Yeah, you guys are going to be like a whole family of billboards for me. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Tattoo the kids. You know. All right. Happy birthday, Mr. H. Thank you, Mrs. H.
Yep.
Later.
Later.
Okay. You have no idea what's happening next week, do you, Shad?
No. Just need confirmation. We'll have it, you know, midweek. So.
Okay. I will be putting up our slow beer broadcast that we did yesterday. I'll be putting up this week. So if you're interested in that, there's a lot of really good interviews. So if you're not interested in slow food, I recommend not tuning in because it's not a lot of beer talk. You can buy books, podcasts, shirts, hats, AHA memberships through our store. And all of that support really helps us. You can also sign up to donate and become a recurring donator or just hit the donate button once if you want to. And all of that stuff really helps. Helps keep us alive. It helps keep the Jameel Show running and any other show that happens to appear here on Random Fridays. You can buy Brew Your Own Magazine through our site. Just click the link. It's a big red banner, and you click that, and you get a great magazine, and we get a little kickback, and it's a cool thing. And if you don't want to do any of that, you could just click on those ads that rhyme with frugal. They're on the side of the site, and it doesn't cost you a thing, and that helps us out also. Of course, as always, visit and patronize our sponsors. They have kept this show moving, just as you donators have. So, you know, you got to go visit them and help them for helping you is the deal with that. So do that for us and be good to each other. And what? We'll see you in 7 days from now. All right. Take care, everybody. Cheers. Thanks, Jay-Z, for making it down here. I love homebrew all the time. Yeah, I think I'll have it. Well, I'll have it one right now.
A bark will do me when the skies are gray. I'll take a Belgian brew at a time, and the women say the lambic fine. But don't you give me that American crude, boys, I want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love a better homebrew?